Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Many of our veterans deal with significant personal issues on a daily basis. These can include any combination of combat-related, medical, or psychological issues, as well as stress from transitioning out of a highly structured environment. It is our hope that through our familiarity with these struggles, we can use our experiences and connections to help these vets move forward in a positive direction and enjoy a fulfilled life. Our vision is to put an end to homelessness and suicide that seems to be prevalent among our veterans. Our mission is to remember, honor, and serve our veterans and their families. Who we are is warriors serving warriors, and we are comprised of veterans of our U.S. military with a variety of backgrounds and professions. Although we are a veterans group of Legacy Church here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we accept vets from other churches and denominations. What we do is actively seek veterans who would like to be a part of our elite Christian group and share our desires to help and equip other veterans who are in need of assistance. We help other veterans who are in need of assistance with their transition to civilian life or have spiritual, physical, or emotional needs. We are currently proudly serving veterans in the Albuquerque metro area with future plans of expanding throughout the whole state of New Mexico. We meet every month to execute and strategically plan to reach our veteran community with the slogan, No Man Left Behind, giving them direction and or referring them to someone that can help them better their lives. If you know someone or are a vet yourselves, give us a call at 505-302-1999 or go to warriorservingwarriors.org. You can also email us at wswnmvets@gmail.com. That's Warriors Serving Warriors. Give us a call or join today.
Okay, we're glad that people are here. Hope my microphone is working. But due to having to be at church on the 14th, I had to cancel the show and reschedule it for this week. I had paid to be part of the Forged Men Conference at Legacy Church where I go, and I had to be there. As we search for things that will help America to become great again, the liberal left becomes rabid when they hear that patriotic Americans want to make America great again. They wallow in the trash that they made for themselves. But we don't want to be in that trash. It is the left's trash, and we want to push, we want to bask in the glory that is America or was America. And one of the reasons why I advertise for Lucid Libertarian Lori Ann's show, which airs on Sunday, is because she wants pretty much the same thing I do. We are sick and tired of the left doing everything that they can to destroy what America was founded as. You know, and one of the things I remember Bill Clinton telling us, or not Bill Clinton, I'm sorry, but Obama telling us, was that we were not formed as a Christian nation. Yes, we were. And I don't see where he gets this. It's, to me, one of those things that the liberal left will say, you know, and they come up with these things where they'll say something that absolutely has no truth to it at all, and yet they expect us to believe it. Right now, they were going after Trump again for the January 6th insurrection, is what they call it. It wasn't anywhere near that. But we're supposed to ignore all of the violence and the idiotic things that the left comes out with. Remember how Maxine Waters told all of us that we need to get in the faces of the conservatives and make sure that they know that they're not welcome anywhere at any time. Now, to me, that's more of an insurrection than what happened on January 6th. I don't know. It just seems to get my goat. The things that the left tells us that we are doing, when everything that they say we're doing are things that they themselves are doing. And I will be right back after the intro.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to do.
Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, he kicks.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men. Most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if he lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. He would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
You know, one of the things that I grew up with, going on here. Let's try to get this off. Okay, there we go. One of the things that I grew up with, my parents listened to Pat Boone all the time. He's still around. Really kind of amazing. But he was on Newsmax this week, and he talked about the critics of Aldine's song and how they should be silenced and shamed. Critics of Jason Aldean's new song, Try That in a Small Town, should be silenced and in shame, said gospel legend Pat Boone on Newsmax. What we're calling wokeism is really whackism, Boone said Friday during an appearance on John Bachman Now about the controversy over the song. It's programmed insanity. It's incredible stuff that children should be able to know the difference only if parents will only let them use their own intelligence instead of letting them be subjected to all these preposterous proposals to change their gender, and all this stuff is insane and we're letting it happen. He added, it's coming on us in such profusion, and we've become weak mentally and intellectually to let things that are stupid suddenly become popular and then become almost necessary. And the government and business is actually kowtowing to the gay pride situation. He goes on to say, if you don't have a rainbow flag and you don't let all your advertisement reflect it, then you're going to pay a price. A Grammy Award-winning artist said the song represents an unspoken rule for people raised in a small town. We all have each other's backs, he said. We look out for each other. Now, to me, this is something that you would think would be popular among the people, among the, you know, the leaders of our government and things like that. You would think that they would want to try to make sure that the world doesn't think we're a bunch of dumbasses. But the left doesn't feel that way, I guess. Hello, Lorianne.
Well, hello, hello. Happy Friday.
Yeah, it's actually a lot better than my last Friday, because last Friday I had done some things that just really I should have been better prepared for. I bought a couple of flash drives so I could add things to them from my computer so I wouldn't lose everything. Well, the one that had all of my audio clips and intros for this show and all of my things that I used during the show was on one of them. And I had this idea that I needed to try to get one of them so that I could use the operating system that I had pulled off. Oh, well, the computer didn't see the operating system, so I deleted everything but the operating system, and there went all of my things, and I never put them back on. So this week has been spent creating all of this stuff.
Yikes.
Yeah, it was something. At least now I have a computer that has a hard drive that's not partitioned in half so that I can only use half of it. It's got the full hard drive on it now, so I should be okay once I get everything done. There's still a few things I haven't gotten yet, but most everything I need for the show is still there anyway.
Good. It is a project. It's one of those things where, you know, you're truly starting back over again from square one, it seems. And then it just really sucks that you ended up deleting, you know, your data files that you didn't really intend to delete. That sucks. Yuck. But I feel you.
But at least one of the things that, one of the things that I actually lost was I had a Dropbox account, and I thought, well, it's not on my computer. I can get that back. Well, I have no idea what the password is for it or anything.
Oh, no.
I can't even find it now. And
you
all
should
my
be able to recover it, though, right? Can't you go to Dropbox and recover it?
I've been trying. I've got Dropbox there right now, but nothing's on it. So not really exactly sure what I need to do, but I know it's there somewhere. But I felt like a fool after I did all of that. And then I had to cancel my show on Friday because I had a thing that I had paid for the year before. Every year my church has they have a conference which lasts for 3 days, and then they have a women's conference right after that. And I paid for my tickets for that last year, and I didn't want to lose out on the money that I put out on it. So I had to be there on Friday. So I had to cancel the show, and I tried to get a hold of you and you didn't answer soon enough. And I tried to get a hold of Joe and he didn't answer. So I, okay, fine. I canceled the show.
Yeah. It was one of those things. Yeah. That I got your message too late. Otherwise I would have helped out and at least, you know, done something, you know, threw together something for a show. But I appreciate that you thought of me, you know. That's a level of trust, you know, so I really appreciate that for you to trust me to, you know, take it over. And, you know, even though I didn't, you know, because I didn't get the message in time, but to just for you to even think of me, I appreciate that. I appreciate the trust that that you're willing to put in me. So, you know, it speaks to me that, you know, that I'm not going to go messing up all your stuff or, host a show and not, you know, make it go off the rails and, you know.
Well, I think in the time that I've done this show, I think I've done this show since 2007. I think in all that time I have either missed my show. I think there was one time I had somebody co-host for me, and that was a guy that I know in California. His name is Douglas B. Gibbs. He teaches the Constitution out there. And he knows the Constitution better than almost anybody I know. And he hosted this show once for me. But other than that, I don't think I've ever gotten anybody to host my show for me other than him. So,
yeah. Well, hopefully you won't have any other conflict.
You were the first one I thought of, actually.
Well, yeah. I mean, I already, since, you know, I set up for Montana Joe's show, you know, so I already have the access. So, you know, to get in there and get into the switchboard and all that good stuff. So it makes sense. Yeah, and then Montana Joe, his email, you know, he said that the email address that you have for him is one that he only checks it every once in a blue moon, you know, so that's why he didn't get your message. Yeah.
Well, I tried. Because I was sitting there thinking, man, there's a lot of stuff going on this week. I really can't cancel that I had to. So.
Yeah. There's always stuff going on every week, isn't there? I mean.
Oh, absolutely. There's
never any lack of things to talk about. You know, every week it's like, you know, more and more just complete crap, you know, going on. It's just like more and more tyranny, you know.
Yeah.
What's the latest tyranny this week? Not a day goes by.
I remember when I first started, you didn't have to pay to be on Blog Talk Radio and still be able to get a two-hour show. So it was that long ago. And I wouldn't do a two-hour show because it took me almost all week to come up with enough stuff for one hour. And now I can do it in about 30 minutes. So it's getting amazing. There's just so much going on that it really kind of blows my mind.
I hear that. I mean, I remember when I first, you know, I've only been doing this, I haven't done this nearly as long. You know, I did my first show in was it September of 2021, and of course there was so much COVID and COVID this, COVID that, and you know, Trump this, Trump that, and it, you know, I remember first starting out, I was, you know, I was like, how am I gonna, you know, be able to do a 3-hour show, you know? 3 hours seemed like a long time, and it didn't take very long for me to go, gosh, how, you know, how would I go down to a 2-hour show, you know, because there's always so much stuff to talk about. it's easy to fill up.
Yeah, and, you know, just like I said, when I first started, you'd have to pretty much work the whole week to try and get enough stuff to cover an hour, let alone two. And when they started doing the whole thing with making it so you had to pay to be able to go over 30 minutes, I went for 30 minutes for a long, long time. And then I thought, well, heck, I'll just pay for a month and see what happens. And I started doing the 2-hour shows, and it was pretty neat. Still took me a long time to come up with all the stuff I needed to talk about. But, you know, it's like anymore, all I have to do is just open up two websites and I've got pretty much everything I need to talk about for several hours at least.
Yeah. And, you know, and the funny thing is I never get to all the stuff I have in mind.
No.
You know, I save, you know, open tabs of stories, you know, and I have like all these things that that I have in mind for the show, and I don't even get to half of it. It's, you know, I guess I could get to all of it if I didn't have anybody call in. What's the point of having a talk radio show?
Well,
if you're not
going to
have people calling in.
I don't know. For a long, long time, I didn't. It was just the show that I did, and I talked for the whole 2 hours. Nobody called in. Very few people ever came into the chat room. And then all of a sudden, everything started to happen. It was like, this is pretty cool. Have people calling in. And I'd get excited if I had two people call in the whole show.
I hear that. Yeah, we're starting out, you know, it can be like that. And now, you know, and then people start to pick up and find you and start becoming regulars. And you kind of, you know, it might be slow going sometimes building up your listenership, but it happens. Now here you are. Now you're stuck with me.
Yay.
It's all Montana Joe's fault.
I think he's in there right now too. So he's in the chat room. He's just listening, or he's on the phone, but he's just listening, it looks like. So.
Yeah, he hasn't pressed one yet.
No. But it's actually kind of exciting to be able to, and I heard you guys talking on your show, I think on Sunday, because I was there, and you were talking about how you started to do this movement where people would, you know, start pushing to do, you know, to make America great again, you know, not to use Trump's words, but now that's about the only thing I can think of, because right now America is pretty much a laughingstock of the world with what's going on. And the only thing I can think of is, you know, make America great again. Do what's right instead of doing everything that's wrong and making the world think, holy crap, what the heck is going on with that country? But, and I think, hello, Joe?
I'm only listening. I am sleepy tonight, so I thought I'd just listen.
Oh, I saw your hand go up there.
Yeah, so I just thought I'd let you know and let Laurie Ann know.
Okay.
I'm here.
I am sleepy.
I am almost went to sleep. But I thought I'd call in just to let Bob know that I got your email and I'm here to support the show. But I am just going to be in a passive mood unless something controversial pops up.
Oh, heck.
And if it doesn't, you might hear me snore. I've
well,
done it before.
You know, just not... mute yourself if you
Yeah, I am. I'm going to mute myself in a second because I actually have gone to sleep on other people's shows, not because I wanted to, but just because I was relaxed. But right now, I am sleeping. So
you're not
I'm lying
getting
down.
Enough sleep, huh?
No, I get enough sleep, but except for today, I was active today. As a result,
yeah.
It kind of made me kind of sleepy.
Yeah,
so,
like I told Lorianne, I've been busy this whole week, so I've been tired this whole week trying to get this computer back up and going so I can actually use it again after what I did last week. So, yeah, because I formatted the hard drive and didn't have most of the stuff I needed somewhere where I could get it, and where I could get it, that disappeared. So,
yeah.
So I had to do a lot of redoing of everything I do on this show, and I actually had to recreate my third hour one with Yvette Harrell. Because it totally disappeared. I have no idea where it went, and I know it was somewhere. Thank God the original thing that she sent me was still in my email. So,
Oh, okay. So I'm going to put myself on mute, and if I'm not asleep, if you guys want to talk or something like that to me, let me know, and I'll reappear.
Oh, okay.
But right now, I'm just lying down and eating and listening. So,
okay.
So off I go, and I'll probably reappear in about 15, 20 minutes or so, or even later.
Okay. Yeah. One of the things that I found here, I had read that thing about Pat. But I didn't even realize he was still around until about 3 weeks ago. I thought he was gone, but according to the picture, he's still looking pretty vibrant. But what do you think of that that song by Paul Dean?
Yeah, I'm curious about that because it's obviously gone viral.
Oh, it has.
And
yes.
And yeah, and then the video. I guess it's still being played on the radio, but it's the video that people are all up in arms about. Because I'm watching this video, and I was like, well, what the hell's wrong with it? I don't get it. You know. You know, they're saying, oh, it's racist and stuff. And I'm like, no, you know, I didn't see anything that, you know, it depicted, you know, like all the rioting and, you know, it depicted attacks on police and, you know,
yeah.
It depicted like what part of the lyrics said, you know, somebody with a gun, you know, hopping over the counter of a store,
ladies.
yeah, sucker punch old ladies. I mean, these are things that have happened, but I guess the reason why people are up in arms about it is because of the location of the video, where it was filmed is in front of the courthouse. The Maury County Courthouse in Tennessee, and that is the site of a 1927 lynching of Henry Choate,
yes.
Hopefully I pronounced that right, and the Columbia Race Riot in 1946, among other incidents of racial violence. So I guess that's kind of the key is, you know, he's standing in front of that building, you know, and it has a you know, large U.S. flag draped down, and that's where he's, you know, singing. So that finally, you know, was like, oh, okay, now I see why people are calling it racist. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, I was reading up on it, and I was like, okay. And I guess Jason Aldean, that was not a location that he came up with. It was the idea for that location came from the producers of the video. But I don't know if he was aware of the history. I haven't seen yet whether or not he was aware that the history of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or not until now. So that's the kind of question mark. But other than that, I think it's an awesome song. I plan on playing it on my show.
That was one of the things I actually had, the sound clip for playing that song. And that was one of the things I lost. So I had to, when I did all this with my computer, what made it bad is the fact that my computer's an old one. It's was manufactured in late 2011. So there is a lot of stuff that, you know, I can't even upgrade to the new operating systems. The highest I can go is one that's about 6 operating systems back. And when I uploaded this, the operating system that came in was Lion. Well, Lion is about 6 back from where I was at, and there was absolutely nothing that worked. You know, I couldn't get into my Apple Store because nothing worked. I couldn't download GarageBand, which I used to do all of my stuff. I couldn't even get into anything on the internet because it kept telling me that my clock was too far ahead, and it was set right, but I had to constantly look all over where I could to get the next operating system up so that I could get it in there, and then I had to go to the next one and then the next one until I finally got to where I could get things to start working again. And so it was a pain. Hello?
What a pain. Yeah, it looks like Duck Northwest in the chat, he was saying that he uses Seagate free agent storage units. I'm a fan of Seagate,
that.
Too. I cannot tell you how many, you know, personally and also in my work, how many hard drives have failed, Western Digital has failed.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because I used to joke with people, I'm like, yeah, you know, Western Digital, you know, has a lifetime warranty on their hard drives. But the thing is you're going to have to use it, you know.
The one that I actually have in this computer is a Seagate, and it's a, I'm pretty sure it's a Seagate, but it's an SSD drive. But when I got it started, it partitioned itself, so it was like 250 gigabytes one side and 250 gigabytes on the other, and I couldn't use one of them. So when I started running out of space on that one side, I had to start deleting things that I needed in order to keep going. And I finally decided to heck with it. I'm going to just format the thing and see if I can get everything back. Well, it took about a week and a half to get all of that stuff back again. So it was fun. It's not something that I want to do.
Chat room.
It's not something I want to do anytime soon.
Yeah. And now, you know, lessons learned, right? Sometimes with these things, you learn the hard way. You pay the price with all the time it takes to get yourself back up and running, but you sure do learn, you know.
Well, at least
if
for a while.
If you do have to go through all this, you know, yeah, at least for a while. But if you do have to It's like, now you know what not to do. Put it that way.
Well, I went through this when
I hear you. My computers are pretty old, too. I can't upgrade to Windows 11 because my computers are old enough where, you know, I have Windows 10 Pro on all of my computers. My two laptops and my desktop are all Windows 10 Pro. And not even my desktop can upgrade to it, even though my desktop is relatively newer machine, definitely newer than my laptop, but for whatever reason, you know, it doesn't, you know, it's not compatible. And yet, you know, at the same time, I'm like, well, is there really a good reason to upgrade? You know, and even though I'm a techie person, I'm very different than most techie people I know. Like, most techie people I know, like, they want to upgrade to the newest thing, like, right away. Like, oh, you know, new operating system's coming out. New this is coming out. I want to upgrade. I want to tinker with it. And I'm the opposite. I'm like, I don't want to deal with it at all until it's been out for a while. The major bug fixes are done. You know, and it's like, it's one of those things, well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, man. You know, I'd rather, if my stuff's working fine, I am not in a big hurry.
Well, that's what I've
got. And I'm certainly not going to go out and buy a new computer just so I can, you know, just so I can have a computer that's up to snuff enough to upgrade, you know.
Yeah, and like I said, the one I'm using is a late 2011 model, and it's old. I cannot upgrade almost. I just got a notice this last week that Chrome will no longer upgrade, and that's what I used. But it's been a great computer. I can't complain, you know, because it's done everything I've asked it to do, and it's actually still doing pretty good for what I can see. But when you have to go and upgrade an operating system that is on the internet, and I think what they need to do is kind of upgrade that, because it was so far back that nothing worked, and it was a pain. It really was. But I'm kind of glad I'm got most of it done right now. So it was a lot of work. And the bad part about it is the last time when I replaced this hard drive to the one I've got now, the old one broke. It was one of those ones with the disk in it and the little thing that would read the disk. And the thing that reads the disk kind of came off and flopped off somewhere, and it stopped reading the disk, so I had to replace it. And from that one, I had absolutely nothing to go by. So I had to rebuild everything that I had on my computer and rebuild it from scratch. So that was a pain. And then this lasted long enough that I forgot what I had done. So it wasn't any fun.
Yeah, when you have something for that long. You know, my desktop is basically like my file server at this point. So, you know, my laptop, I save everything to the desktop because it has multiple drives. It has a 2 terabyte drive and a 4 terabyte drive, and then 256 on board. And then another SSD 256 that I don't use that. It's just a clone, you know. So since the onboard, you know, for my C drive, 256 gigabyte for the C drive alone, just for Windows, I just have that SSD 256 to clone it. So that way, if the onboard blows up on me, after I got, you know, the computer set up and all my stuff installed and updates done and all that kind of stuff, I did a clone over to that SSD 256, so I can just switch over to it if I need to and be back up and running.
Yeah. Well, that's where I don't have a desktop. My wife does, and it sits over on the desk beside me, but it's so slow that it would take me a year and a half to do what I had to do this week. And it doesn't have that big a hard drive on. I think it's a little bit smaller than the one I've got on this laptop, on my laptop. It's 500 gigabytes. So, if it's open like it is now, I've got plenty of space on it, but I would like to get a 1 terabyte at least. But with this computer being as old as it is and not being able to upgrade anything on it, there's no reason to do it on this computer. So, and that's probably why I haven't done it. And I see Joseph is in the chat room. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I stepped away from my laptop. And
no,
I wet my hands. I had my phone muted, and I just washed my hands real quick, and my hands were wet, and so it wouldn't, you know, so I couldn't, like, wake my phone back up.
Yeah, I'm reading what New Orleans Wake Up is saying in the chat room, and he says, Lori, find a firsthand news account of the details of Henry Chowate's lynching. And then read it, and you won't have, if you don't have it, I do. We've already discussed all of that, and he's still stuck on it, so. Which, to me, is one of the reasons why I've never been sure about him in the first place, because he'll stick to a topic. And then if we don't agree with him, then he'll insult, and that's what he's doing now. He says, but you guts don't see the problem, guys. And so I don't know. I've got another person here that wants to be on.
But you guts don't have.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
All righty. What's going on?
Nothing much. Yeah.
Hey, Gerald.
So how have you been?
What? Hanging in there. Hanging in there. Okay. Just to discuss something here. I sent the message out to a few people. I know you didn't get it yet, but I was thinking, you know, we know Congress is in charge of all the spending. You know, funding, and why, and we know the Republicans control Congress, so why don't they stop all the spending and defund the prosecution teams that are prosecuting Trump?
I never understood why they didn't either.
Yeah.
Except
no
that maybe they're afraid that they'll do that, and then people will vote them out of office or something. Well, It's what they need to do. They need to start doing what is right instead of doing what they think keeps them in office.
Yeah. So I think what we need to do is use our podcasting abilities here and call
mm-hmm.
these representatives and put them on the spot and ask them that, all us podcasters, and build up maybe a coalition here, or maybe start putting the word out to the people out there, you know, all these people that are on the Trump train that want to go to the rallies and everything. Well, let's see. Let's put, instead of going to the rally and cheering, yeah, like a bunch of zombies and sheep, following, you know, let's put it into action. Let's contact our local representatives and say, defund these special prosecutors. Defund them. You know? That's it. The people have spoken. Bring our grievances to the people. I mean, bring our grievances to the representatives and say, we want this defund. We want to, your job is to fix the damn economy, okay? Prices are outrageous. Inflation is out of control. Fix the damn economy. There's a lot of the issues that could be addressed instead of this crap. I don't want to see one more damn hearing about a laptop. I don't want to see one more damn hearing about classified files in a basement someplace. I don't give a damn. Okay?
Yeah.
That's what we do right now.
Yeah, I think most of us are there right now.
Enough is enough. That's it. I don't care. I don't care about the FBI director being grilled. I don't care. It doesn't mean nothing. It's not going to prove nothing. It's not going to do nothing.
Nope.
Put your damn your judiciary hearings aside. Get your ass back there to freaking the House floor and vote on defunding the prosecution of Trump and vote on something that's going to fix the economy.
Yep. I totally agree.
Enough is enough. You know, it's up to us, the people, to bring this message to them. And we're alternative media, so we need to use our power and our voices to round people up to do this. That's it.
Yeah.
Enough.
Absolutely.
You know, it's time for us to take action. If we're not going to take no action and we're not going to do nothing, then you know what? Hey, let's just rip it down. Tear it down. Rip it apart. Let's go. Hey, why not? Hell with it. I'll pack my bags. I'll get the hell out of this damn country then, you know? I mean, you know, go someplace else.
Yeah, and I'm fairly close to the border myself, so.
Oh, I don't care. You know, I mean, we've got to fight for something, man. Take a stand for something. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sick and tired of it. You know, the puppet shows, I'm sick and tired of the economy. I went to the grocery store tonight, man. Freaking man, I spent my money, man. I'm like, you know, this is just ridiculous, these prices. Ridiculous, man. Milk, $5 a gallon, man. Ridiculous, man. It was $2.99 last year. $2.99.
Yep. Actually, it was a little bit less than that, I think. But, you know, I know what you're talking about. It's and I can remember when Trump was still in office, the gasoline here was $1.49. I think it even went a little bit lower than that for a little bit.
$3.49 a gallon. $3.49.
Yeah, and it's about $3.79 here.
Unacceptable.
And it just seems like it doesn't seem to matter to the people in office what's going on because they don't feel it. They're getting paid so much money, they don't feel it, you know, and they need to start looking at what it's doing to the average person. I know here in New Mexico.
They don't care. They don't care.
They've been
detached from us. They're detached. They don't know how it is to get out there and pick up a shovel and dig a hole and work for a living. They don't know what it's like.
And they make a big deal out of it when they go to a groundbreaking and they take a golden shovel and dig a
get
a little bitty scoop of dirt and pull it out and yay me. It just drives me nuts. You know, and here in New Mexico, we had one big coal-fired power plant and our governor shut it down late last year. And now it's abandoned and our electric prices and everything are going up skyrocketing here in the state because she shut down our only coal-fired power plant, and there's nothing else but solar stuff, and there isn't enough of that to handle the state.
Oh, man. I know. I know it. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to make it to the next election or not, 2024, the way things are going. I just don't see anything change. I think we're about one catastrophe away. Them declaring martial law or implementing their next plan. They're not going to come out with another damn virus, okay? Everybody needs to cut the crap with that. They're not going to do that, all right? They played that card already, you know? It's just like a terrorist attack. Another one has never happened, has it? Remember everybody, wait till the next terrorist attack, remember? Remember we had to have levels? Remember it was red level, orange level, remember? Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
The terror ratings for the day?
Yep.
There was never another attack. There was not another attack. But they had us running around for 20 years thinking there was going to be one, you know?
Yeah.
And there ain't going to be no damn by another vaccine thing coming out, another COVID out, COVID 3 or whatever the hell they're coming out with. There ain't no they're going to come up with something new that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. And the only reason why it might happen again is because they got away with it so successfully that, you know, they might think, well, we got away with it last time.
They also got away with 9/11, you know?
Yeah, that they did.
So, you know, Saudi Arabians there that brought down the towers there, Saudi Arabians, you know, CIA trained, you know, brought down the towers there and, you know, and then brought down another building too. I wonder why that building went, why that building was blown up. I wonder why they went ahead and pulled that building, you know, down. I wonder where that other plane was going too. I wonder where it was heading.
I don't know, but I'm glad it didn't get where it was going.
Yeah, I know. And it blew up. And it blew up too. You know, that's it. Didn't crash. You know, it blew up and landed to went hit the ground then. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when it hit the ground, any plane that hits the ground, there was nothing left of that plane when it hit the ground, you know. There was nothing left. What plane crashes and there's nothing left of it like that, you know?
There was even pieces of the plane that hit the Pentagon, but that one in Pennsylvania, that one, there was nothing left of it.
Well, it exploded, that's why. You know, mm-hmm. You could see the impact when it hit the film of it, when it explodes. You know, and then they went around and they confiscated all the video, any video, gas stations, we need your video. They confiscated all the video from the, like, 8-block radius, you know, because they made sure nobody caught anything on camera they weren't supposed to see.
Mm-hmm.
How about that,
No plane hit the Pentagon either.
Yeah.
I know, it was exploding.
Yeah,
well, it certainly wasn't a big, huge commercial jetliner that hit it, that's for sure. I need to look up, but there's a really good, it's like, if you want to take the time, there's a really good video. I need to try to find it. Barbara Harbinger, I believe is, I might be butchering the last name, Barbara Harbinger. She's probably one of the biggest, like, experts and researchers on what happened with the Pentagon, and she did an excellent presentation, and I need to try to find that video. I'm sure I have it saved somewhere on what happened there, and it's very compelling. She presents a lot of facts, and, she just put together a really good presentation. I'm going to have to find it.
Well,
where's the passenger list for that plane anyway? Where's the passenger list for that plane? Never heard about that. Have you?
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I think they mentioned it one time. It's just like, you know, after 9/11, you know, that all the television stations played it for about a week or so, and then the government starts saying, we got to stop and get over this, stop showing that. It's gonna have people afraid of everything. Well, you know, and then
amazing,
all of a sudden it ended.
Isn't it amazing all the networks had a different angle at those towers that day?
Yeah.
You know?
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. There's a whole bunch of different angles for it.
Yeah, why? What, do they just have cameras that point at it all day long, all the time? Let's check now and see what they're looking at. What if they got any? If they got any cameras pointing at some? You know, right now. You know, come on, at the Empire State Building. Let's see if they got cameras pointing at there too. You know,
I bet they do. I'll bet they do.
They got the satellites. That's what they have.
Oh, yeah.
The satellite cameras.
Satellites and Google Maps.
No, they didn't have Google Maps out in 2001. They didn't have that yet.
But they do now. So that's one of the things that I'm looking at. It's probably They're probably all.
What I'm trying to say is how, why I'm trying to say is why were those network cameras pointing at the World Trade Center that day, September 11th? Why? Why? You know, that's what I'm trying to get at here.
It kind of makes you wonder.
And all the networks had a different view. All the networks had a different angle at it. Go to ABC, NBC, you know?
Yeah. Everybody had a different angle.
The point
being, one of the questions you asked was about, well, why was it one of the buildings pulled? And that's because one of the people had like a $2 billion insurance, a guy named Feinstein or something like that.
Silverstein.
$2 billion insurance policy, which he took out only about 6 months prior to that.
Yeah.
It was planned. Plus the Bushes, they were in charge of the security at the World Trade Center.
Lovely. You know? and half the people that worked there weren't even there that day. Where were they? Field trip?
Yeah, it's hard telling.
No, it shows the diabolicalness. It shows the diabolicalness of what's behind this government.
I think I got Sarge on here too.
Oh boy. Let me check and see if he is here. Because lately I've been disembodied.
Well, I got 7-6 is there now. If you want to speak up, I saw your hand go up.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm doing well. I see the gang's all here.
Oh, we're having fun so far. Haven't really talked about too many things.
My main issue, Sarge, I'm putting it all to the podcasters and the guests and everybody here. Look, we're picking an issue here. Well, you know what? Congress is in charge of funding all these special prosecutions against Trump. Well, the Republicans control the Congress. The Republicans control Congress, so defund it. Defund them all the special prosecutions. Defund them.
That's all they have to do. And they've got the power, too.
Where's the Trump train? Where's the Trump train? Come on. You know,
that would take more courage, I think, than they have to do. They wouldn't want to be, you know, let me tell you what their argument is going to be to not do that. They're going to say that, well, we don't want to short-circuit the judicial system. We should let the process play out. They're going to play all noble and high-minded and all that. They'll never do it. Never.
Well, it was okay for the left to defund the police. It was okay for them to do that.
Exactly right. Now you get it. Two-tiered justice system is real.
Yep. It is very real.
You know, I mean, you know, or something else, another issue, not to spread stuff out there, elections, the electioneering. Monitor the what's being done for extra electric, the electioneering process. You know, what's going on here with these ballot boxes and harvest balloting? What's going on with the election laws in, you know, in your county and your state? What's going on here? You know, have they been strengthened? Is there going to be people there watching, monitoring these polls? What's going on? Are we going to repeat the same damn thing for that happened in 2020?
It'll probably be the same thing.
Oh yeah, no doubt, it'll be the same thing. No, it will be the same. But look, elections—they're talking about the election is and what is needed for this, for Trump to pull it out, and what demographic he's got to appeal to, and where he needs to place the emphasis on and what particular thing. I'm telling you right now, I keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying it forever. I wish other people would keep saying none of it means anything without election integrity laws in at least 5 or 6 key battleground states. Without that, they will manufacture as many ballots as they need to manufacture to win. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So they better get election integrity laws in each state. Otherwise, it's over. They're going to steal it again like they did in 2020.
You're real choppy, Sarge. Real choppy.
Yeah, you're real choppy. Well, does anyone have any solutions as to what type of legislation should be drafted? Well, I mean, what's the angle on that? I'm a little ignorant on those. So, I mean, what type of wording should be, to fix this?
They need to have signature matching on all mail-in ballots. Better yet, in all universal mail-in balloting in every state. If you can't do that, then you've got to preserve chain of custody, you've got to preserve the ballot, and you got to have signature matching on all the ballots. Now, if you're going to have universal mail-in balloting, that is a mandatory. If that isn't done, there will be fraud. End of story. So it's whether or not it can be done or not. The issue is whether or not it will be done.
Why not? Why not? We have chain of custody for evidence in courthouses. Why can't we do it for the ballots?
Because that way those who want to steal elections can't do it as easy. I mean, we really have to understand there is a machine, particularly a Democrat machine in most of these big cities, that actually thinks it's right and proper and ordinary to steal elections. They don't think there's really anything wrong with it. They've been doing it for decades.
Yeah, they have.
Care. I don't care.
And if you make the laws more stringent, it makes it more difficult for them to cheat. They want to cheat. I know that sounds incredible to say, but in many jurisdictions, that's the case.
I don't care what they did 30 years ago. I don't care what they've been doing. I care about what they're going to do in 2024. You know? That's it. I don't care what's happened in the past.
Right now we have a Department of Justice that won't step in to investigate electoral fraud. It is protecting those who do it. So, again, I say to you, with all of this massive corruption in these key locales, the corruption is massive, it's pervasive, it's everywhere. I tell you the truth, the solution is something I'm not going to say on the show. I'm just not going to say it. When no one does their duty to stop corruption, I mean, what do? You just lay back and accept it. So I guess so. If the people who are responsible to make sure the corruption doesn't occur do nothing about it, what is there to do? You tell me.
Well, you know, the problem is we've allowed this to go on for so long now that the people who are doing it, even though it's wrong, think it's right now.
Especially if they're going to stop an orange Adolf Hitler, they got every excuse in the world to cheat. Well, cheating may be bad, but in this case, if it's to stop Donald Trump, that dictator, the Adolf Hitler, well, it's okay. We'll never do it again, promise. Cross our heart and hope to die. Just this time.
I go to court Monday I've already drafted up everything. I've got my petitioner's memorandum of law, supported petition for judicial review of final agency decisions of the CPSA, board. I've got my temporary restraining order, my injunction type all filed. I got everything all filed. I got my oral argument all set. And they filed a motion to dismiss. I've got them beat. I got the smoking gun, like they like to say, two pieces of evidence that's going to shut them right down. Because they said I failed to exhaust my administrative remedies when I got two emails from an investigator and the director of the board stating that I've already exhausted my administrative remedies. So the lawyer, I'm going to ask that lawyer be sanctioned because I made him aware of this, so he's still pursuing his motion to dismiss. And he said that the Superior Court has no jurisdiction over this matter. What? And so right then and there he's being arrogant right there, so I'm going to point that out. Let's see what happens on Monday. You know, we'll see how high the level of corruption goes here with this issue.
Well, I understand how it goes. I've seen places I never thought I'd be seeing so naked and openly. All I can do is wish you luck.
Yep.
Oh yeah. You know,
I mean,
If I lose, the tyranny continues. That's all. If I lose, all it does is it gives the licensing boards more power to regulate people and regulate certain jobs around the state. So, mm-hmm. this what I'm doing basically will strip them of this regulation, this type of regulating, especially when it comes to that type of profession which I was working for. So, and using the grounds of moral turpitude. You know, what the hell is moral turpitude, you know?
Catch-all phrase, kind of like in the UCMJ, Uniform Code of Military Justice Conduct, Unbecoming an Officer and a Gentleman.
Kind of I know.
You pretty much fit anything in that framework you want to.
Exactly.
Yep.
And that's why it's got to go.
Yeah, most everything in Washington, D.C. right now has to go. I mean, we've allowed this to go on for so long that they think that they're in the right. And now they're saying things like, you know, it's like I was saying, Obama said that this nation was not formed as a Christian nation. It was. All you have to do is look at everything. Look at everything that.
You know, even King George III complained that the problem with the American Revolution was it was a Syrian revolution. King George III said that.
Yep. Yep. And I think I got warm.
Yeah. Sarge,
you're good at history. When was the first raid in this country by a police department on a home?
The first raid by a police department, that would be in the 1900s.
Yeah, by SWAT team, for a SWAT team. You know how they raid a house, you know? You gear up raid a house.
You mean the first one in the country by a modern-style SWAT team?
Yes. Of course, we know what happened, you know, back
that have been, I remember the Symbionese Liberation Army with Patty Hearst. I mean, the LAPD had just kind of formed their formal SWAT team when that went down. That was in the late 70s, 1979, something like that.
It was in 1964.
Okay. And which jurisdiction or department was
it? It was in New York. It was on one of the boroughs in New York City. I forgot which one. I had it written down this morning, but I wanted to tell you about. I wanted to ask you that, you know, when I next time I talk to you. So, but I had it written down. I'm not near that section of my office right now. So, but yeah. So it hasn't been around that long. These warrants, you know, raiding people's homes, because I feel that's another thing that would have to be stopped. If I became a lawmaker here in North Carolina, I proposed legislation to stop that. No more no-knock warrants, no more raiding people's homes. Your home is your castle. If there's a fugitive in there that needs to be caught, he could be caught when he leaves his home. It's easier to subdue him. You know, there's many professional ways that a person could be taken down than kicking down a door and killing a family or God forbid, many times, the wrong family. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and don't shoot and kill my dog in the process too. You know, that'd be really nice.
Well, that's the nice thing about doing things like that at the state level. See, at the state level, the state is free to impose more restrictions on law enforcement if the legislature decides to do it. The only thing the Constitution says is that wherever a search warrant is served, it must be done with a warrant, and the search criteria must be reasonable. That's all the Constitution says. But it doesn't actually forbid home raids with a warrant, or not raid, I wouldn't use the word raid, but searches on a home with a warrant. It just says that whatever they are, they have to be reasonable. But can, if the people want, impose more restrictions on law enforcement and police agencies than the federal government does. The federal government just provides the absolute minimum that can be done.
Yep.
Correct.
Well, it looks like we've got Warren who wants to be on the phone, so should I let him in?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Greetings, Brother Warren, host of New Orleans Wake Up here.
Yes, Warren.
Oh, it gets silent when I walk into the room, huh? Well, look, I'm gonna throw this scenario out to y'all and let y'all respond for the presidential election. It looks like the Republicans might be in a little shaky situation with their candidate choice. So, what I suspect is going to happen, I suspect Tim Scott is going to be moved up in a leading spot as a contender. If Trump gets the nomination, he may choose Tim Scott as a VP. And if Trump gets convicted on something, has to go to jail, then Tim Scott will move in. I think that the dilemma the Republican Party is in is the image of them being a racist party. And I do know that there are people in the party who want to put that image aside and are willing to play identity politics by choosing Tim Scott, just like the Democrats chose Barack Obama. I believe there are some Republicans who want to choose Tim Scott, playing identity politics like they accuse the Democrats of, to make Tim Scott be the presidential nominee for the Republican Party. And if Trump is it, Trump will pick him as a VP, and Trump, if elected, won't be able to serve and complete a term possibly, and then Tim Scott will walk right in. What y'all think about that scenario?
If Trump is elected, he can still be president while he's in jail.
Mm-hmm. He can.
So what did you think about that possibility?
Well, he can pardon himself, too.
Well, so. I'm looking at the amount of money that Tim Scott has the amount of money right after Donald Trump in terms of the campaign. He hasn't spent all of the $20-something million he has at this moment. So I do believe that he's going to be a surprise in this Republican nomination thing. I believe he's going to be a – I mean, I don't care for him. I don't care for any Republicans. I've been voting Green Party the last few elections. But I'm just looking at what's been happening, that both the Democrats have a bad candidate and the Republican candidate. Now that looks bad if a sitting president is in jail.
Yes, it does. But then again, like I said, he'll pardon himself. Now, if there's any state charges, he can't pardon that.
And
so,
there are some Republicans, I understand, there are some evangelical Republicans who are trying to get other evangelicals to get behind an opposing Republican to oppose Trump. So that's happening too.
I'm trying to get by. I didn't hear. What does he mean by that? I don't get it.
I read an article the other day. There are some leading evangelical pastors who are trying to convince other evangelicals and our Republican voters to get behind an alternative Republican that's in the race against Trump.
Oh, okay. I disagree with that. I don't believe in picking the next best choice or the lesser of two evils, I guess you could say. I don't believe in that, doing that.
Well, there's some sort of split going on among the Republican voters regarding Donald Trump being the potential nominee.
Well, of course there is. They don't want him in there. He said too much. He says too makes people think, and they don't want people thinking.
I think that Biden is a bad image, and I think Trump is equally a bad image. It just shows just how things are in this country now. That those are the two choices you have. Those two guys. It just doesn't make any sense.
But what did Trump do that was bad? Obviously,
Trump's own mouth, his erratic behavior, he messed it up for himself. Okay?
How?
He has nobody but to blame but himself for how he carried himself in that office.
How?
I'm curious.
Well, many of the people that Trump brought along with him in his cabinet fled and walked away from him. Some of the people that was very, even right now, he's been having a feud with almost everybody.
Well,
even
what's that tell you?
Warren?
But that doesn't tell you he's a bad guy.
It says something about him. Come on now. Everybody's wrong. Everybody's wrong.
Go ahead.
That has nothing to do with it, because how many people have left the Biden administration?
You haven't had, the Biden administration hasn't had what I call cabinet scandals as Trump has had.
Okay.
Well, what if I get elected? What if I get elected and I run on, which I continue my word, and I want to restore the Constitution, and I go against the grain. I go against what the majority of even my party wants to do, which is business as usual. And so a lot of people walk away from me. Does that make me a bad candidate? That makes me a bad person?
Nope.
Because I stick to my morals to what I want.
I believe Trump probably is one of the greatest con men we've seen this century so far.
What did he do? What did he do? I don't get it. What did he do?
He did nothing.
I mean, that's
He did nothing but cause a whole lot of confusion on the ground among the American people.
He did a lot. He did what he said he was going to do. He built the wall as far as they let
him. Well, no, he didn't build the wall. He built some of the wall.
He built as far as they let him. He had the lowest unemployment numbers in a lot of races than anyone's had, but nobody will talk about that one. He did a lot.
Well, the economy was doing good.
As a business owner,
I will say the economy was doing very good when Trump was president. I will tell you that it was probably the best years I ever had, actually. So, and I was providing as a service person that, you know, the economy is very important for supplies, gasoline, parts, stuff like that. So the economy was very, and consumer confidence was very high.
And
deregulation is important. Deregulation is very important. Government oversight, eliminating, getting the government the hell out of our picture and out of our way is very important.
Joe, with all due respect, you're just repeating talking points that you don't even really understand fully, Joe.
Well, so are you.
What are you talking about? I know. What are you talking about?
I was a business owner during Trump's administration. When you talk about the problem is government regulation, do you know that's why the banks are collapsing and failing because they haven't been regulated as they should be?
The banks are not collapsing because of government
You had three of the largest banks collapse in March and April.
That has nothing to do with our government. That's the Federal Reserve and the central banks across the world. That has nothing to do with our government.
All right. Joe,
You just made a claim. What regulation made them collapse? Name one.
The Glass-Steagall Act that was put in place during FDR's administration was slowly, but it was slowly peeled away. That's why you had the 2008 banking collapse where the government had to bail them out. One of the greatest
We're talking during the Trump's 4 years. What are you talking about? Now here you are. Before you know it, we're back to the 1800s and slavery. Let's stick to Trump years.
That's your strategy, Joe, to out-scream the person, try to bring facts and information, That's your strategy, Joe? That's how you debate, Joe?
Warren, you're talking nonsense because this is what you do. You start, now you're going back in time. And again, we'll be back during the slavery years again before you're at the end of the conversation. Stick to the 4 years Trump was president, please. You can't, exactly.
No, I'm not going to argue with you, Joe. I mean, you are stuck to a talking point.
I'm not arguing.
On the index card, so it's not going to say to you, because you're stuck to those talking points on the index card that y'all bought from the conservative store down in on Main Street in town.
Warren, name a regulation that Trump stripped away that hurt the banks. Name one.
The loosening of the regulations occurred over several president administrations, particularly in Clinton.
That's not what you said. You said Trump.
I was addressing your talking point on government regulations are too much. And I'm giving you an example of how when you loosen certain regulations, the problems you get. Big business don't want to be regulated.
What regulation did, Warren, again, what regulation did Trump loosen hurt the banks? What regulation did Trump loosen?
Well, I'm using that as an example of your challenging your talking point about too much government regulation.
What are you talking about? The question is, what regulation did Trump?
On that particular issue, I didn't accuse Trump in that particular issue.
Yes,
I was challenging. I was challenging.
Yes, you did. I made the comment that when Trump was president, deregulation, the deregulating he did helped the economy and consumer confidence. And it was the best years I had as a small business owner. And then you turned around and said no.
You did.
I mean, go on. Again, your talking point is crushed.
No, I'm challenging your talking point. Pretty much accusing government regulation of being a problem.
We were talking about Donald Trump, Warren. You made the comment that you knocked Donald Trump. You said everything he did to destabilize the people, destabilize the economy. He was not a good president. That's how this all started, this conversation.
Hello, Joe? Can you hear me?
Am I right?
Hello?
Yeah, I've got Sarge back in there again.
Yeah, I'm traveling. We've got a lot of storms out here. I'm on the road, and I'm in a bad reception area. But anyway, I might go out again. But before I go out, all I can say is there was steady GDP growth throughout the Trump presidency. It went to almost 4% in the last quarter before COVID when we left. Again, the numbers, the objective numbers that you can measure things by were infinitely better as far as economic stability under Donald Trump than they ever have been under Obama, which has been one continuous reign of instability after another, one unstable element after another.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that has been fairly consistent that I could say good about the Biden economy is that there has been relatively low unemployment, but that is simply a metric of return to work after the COVID regime. That's all. It's not due to anything he did.
True. Yeah, everyone's exhausted their unemployment benefits, so they can't file new claims.
That's it.
That's why it dropped.
I mean, GDP growth, energy costs, tariff to import costs and benefits, everything was more stable under Trump. There is no metric I can think of that indicates significant positive economic activity that wasn't much more stable under Donald Trump's presidency than under Biden. I'm trying to think of one. There may have been one. I can't think of what it is. If there was one, I'd like to know what it is.
That's all we're trying to do, Sarge, but he won't answer. He makes these comments, and he won't answer, you see? You know, and this is all, and I'm not trying to argue with you, and I'm not trying to insult you, but just the truth is the truth.
You are, Joe. You're trying to create an argument where there is no argument.
One thing about the economy is it's kind of immutable and kind of fixed. They're numbers. Numbers are involved. Numbers are either always, in every single instance, either greater than, lesser than, or the same as. There can be no other distinction between numbers. And if you look at what is greater than and what is lesser than in the Trump administration, I don't know how it's even possible to concede that overall his administration is not more stable and more beneficial for the average American than at any other time. I'd like to know how is it possible.
Now, Joe, let me share this with you, Joe. This is an article.
He was Googling stuff. He's Googling stuff. Okay, go ahead.
This is an article. Trump, who deregulated the railroad industry, lies to the people of Ohio in his visit. And it says almost 3 weeks after the derailment of a Norfolk Southern train carrying hazardous material in Ohio, twice impeached former President Donald Trump visited and lied to the people of East Palestine, all to score a few photo ops. And then it goes on about some of the deregulations that he removed, some of the regulations he removed from the railroad industry has contributed to a lot of these accidents that have been occurring with these trains.
Let's examine that. Let's unpack that. Let's not let that stand without unpacking. Let's take a look at it. All right, there was an investigation into that accident.
Let me finish.
It had nothing to do with regulation. It was a maintenance issue.
It was a maintenance issue.
That's how you guys cope.
I'm saying it was due to a maintenance issue. It had nothing to do with deregulation. There was nothing about the incident that was contributable to a deregulation policy.
Much of these regulatory slashes were made at the behest of special interests like the Association of American Railroads, which represents massive corporations like Norfolk Southern and heavily lobbied for the deregulatory cornucopia that Trump provided. Trump also tapped someone with deep ties to the chemical industry to head the EPA's Chemical Safety and Pollution Prevention Office. So a lot of the New Republic has truly reported the blame for a dangerous industry that leads to over 1,000 train derailments a year is cross-partisan. Railroad companies inject millions of dollars into both parties. The common denominator of it all is a conservative politics that argues that the government is weak and therefore weakens the government in order to prove it at all. So as Trump visits East Palestine and as fellow deregulation-chasing Republicans and even conservative Democrats may posture themselves as the benevolent voices on the issue, may we not allow them to weasel off the hook so easily. That's just one example of an industry where Trump removed regulations on industry, and you have, as a result, damages done to people, working people like yourself, Joe, who get impacted by chemicals that spill from these train cars.
Okay, now where did you get that?
This is an article from the New Republic.
Yeah, well, right. that's something the New Republic would do because they're a complete liberal rag.
Well, if all you do, Robert, is divide the world into liberal and conservative, then I feel sorry for you.
Okay. I'd like to take a look at your own argument and say, okay, let's say that that's what you say is true, and I don't believe it anyway, but let's say it's true. Think of argument.
Of course you're not going to believe it.
Okay, wait a minute. Donald Trump, no, I don't think it's true, but I'm going to say it's true for the sake of argument. Did that contribute in any way materially to an economic decline? And if so, I'd like you to tell me how the failure of Donald Trump to regulate things you regulated contributed to an economic decline and to economic instability. That's what you did not do. Well, I'm waiting.
No, I'm past the argument on this. Okay, I'm just pushing back against your idea that government regulation.
And then you brought up Donald Trump's failures on deregulation. I mean, I guess you changed it.
I am ready to move on.
Materially disaffected the economy. That's what I'd like to understand.
I am ready to move on because my intention is never to convince you all of anything because you all see the world in Republican, conservative, or liberal. That's how you all see the world.
I'm asking you to make your case as to how his failure to regulate the railroad industry contributed to economic instability.
When you deregulate many of these corporations who try to cut corners, because regulations are put in place for purposes of safety and to avoid corruption. many times. And so corporations don't want to be regulated by government because they want to do whatever they want to do, even if it hurts the little guy.
So then you don't have a direct correlation. At best, your correlation is indirect at best and insubstantive at best. Mm-hmm. You say it affects corruption, and I assume corruption in some way will destabilize the economy. Of course,
but
you haven't made it yet.
I understand corruption is not partisan, that you have corrupt liberals and corrupt conservatives, but you guys feel only so-called liberals are corrupt and conservatives are worthy of getting to see in the kingdom of heaven. That's how you all say it.
Was about the economic benefits of the Trump administration and the Biden administration. And we claimed, and we were able to back it up with numbers, that the GDP growth was steady, that the trade deficit balance was much more in the United States' favor, that a whole host of economic indicators were better under the Trump administration. And then you went on to some sort of failure of the Trump administration to regulate the railroad industry in counter to what we said. And I'm still trying to understand how what you're saying materially impacted Donald Trump's administration insofar as his ability as chief executive to affect the economy.
Donald Trump was an incompetent president that got himself in trouble. That's why he has all these indictments against him.
No, he's got all these indictments
against him
because the Democrats want to put him in jail. That's all there is to that one.
Well, he gave people the information to put him in jail. He gave people the gun to put on him.
Okay.
No, he didn't.
All right.
Where all of that came from was the liberal mainstream lying media. They have got such a hold on the people of the United States and of the government of this nation that I'm surprised this nation's still going.
Okay. I looked at the indictment Donald Trump was charged with under the FBI. I read it cover to cover. I read every one of the counts in the indictment. Then I read the Espionage Act, and then I reread the Presidential Records Act. Now, I have a pretty good understanding in context with those three factors. Number one, the indictment, of which every single count of the indictment, the government is required to prove to a jury beyond a reasonable doubt. Number two, the fact that there's a Presidential Records Act dealing with presidential records that were short-circuited and never allowed to go to completion before the Mar-a-Lago raid was initiated.
Exactly.
And number three, the fact that given all of those factors, I don't think there's a case worth making whatsoever, given this guy Jack Smith's dismal record of failure against major politicians in similar circumstances, amongst which was a Democrat named John Edwards, a presidential candidate. This guy has a dismal record of failure in this and other venues. And Governor Bill Edwards, he failed in that one miserably. He's got a complete track record of failure, and this looks like another cobbled-up attempt to get somebody to further this guy's career, which I don't understand why he's even got one, given his record of failure, and why he was selected for this in a major case like this, given his record of failure. I remember, I've read the Espionage Act, I read the indictment, and I read the Presidential Records Act, and I think there's a big conflict between all three, and I can tell you in great detail as to why I believe that. I'm looking at the law. I'm not looking at narratives or anything else. I'm not even looking at being on Trump's side. I'm looking at what the prosecution has to prove to a jury beyond a reasonable doubt, given the law is that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think I've got somebody else here. Okay.
Now, tell me something, Robert. Why do you think it is that, you know, that they were in negotiations at the time under the Presidential Records Act of getting back the documents that the archivist thought the government ought to have. And the normal procedure is to commit such a thing to mediation by a federal judge. And the federal judge looks at everything under the Presidential Records Act and decides whether or not the archivist should have it. In which case, he would issue a subpoena for this. And if Donald Trump did not comply with that subpoena, a civil subpoena in a civil process, then he might be guilty of civil contempt of court. But they never let it go to that point. Why didn't Does anybody ever want to ask the question?
Why didn't they?
They did it with Barack Obama. They did it with Barack Obama. They did it with George Bush.
Yep.
They did it with Bill Clinton. Well, all of a sudden, they had the short circuit procedure for Donald Trump. Obama had to pay $800,000 in fines to have those things he had stored in a furniture warehouse in Elgin, Illinois, moved back to the National Archives. That under the mediation procedure with the federal judge says the National Archives was entitled to. So he and his outfit, his Barack Obama's outfit, the Lincoln Presidential Library paid to have it moved. They had to pay $800,000 to the government to have all that stuff returned to the archives. That's the way the procedure is supposed to work. It wasn't allowed to work that way with Trump. Why? Why not? Why don't we ask that question vigorously?
Yeah, we should ask it vigorously. I also have another one on the phone, 11111 number.
It's John Doe, Rob.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Hi, John Doe.
Yeah. Hey, gang. Well, you know, I think probably you all heard me say this before. I reluctantly voted for Donald Trump every time. In the primaries, I was trying to get somebody else elected. I think Donald Trump is unconstitutional, but he was the best slime ball out of all the slime balls, because when you're scraping from the bottle of the – when you're scraping from the bottom of the barrel – when you're scraping from the bottom of the barrel for all the candidates who are only running, you got to take the lesser of all the lessers, or the greater of all the lessers. So my issue is he basically supported H.R. 4477, Fix Nick's Act, to take more gun rights away from us. He also helped ban the bump stocks. He also helped fast-track warp speed with the COVID-19 genetic modification nonsense and the face masks and ventilators, listening to Dr. Fauci, so we could spend a whole bunch of money with all these corporations to make these ventilators and face masks through our government. He helped create another deep state resource for funding, spying, surveilling, monitoring, and tracking us through Space Force, because it ain't going to be you and me's favorite little congressman running that show. It's the deep state con artist that's running that show. He just handed that little military-industrial complex over to him, and he's actually the highest appropriator in the history of America. In his 4 years, he appropriated over $9 trillion worth of appropriations that nobody talks about, but you're going to hear it whenever he gets nominated, because it's going to come out of the woodwork to beat him to death. But the big deep state folks love that money, and that goes for the, McCarthy 200 mafia in our House of Representatives, as well as all the Democrats and the other crooked politicians that like all the money. And he was cool with the with legal immigration, when we have so many Americans that are on the public dole and on, not even being registered through our the unemployment system. They're being disenfranchised and kicked to the side. He supports red flag laws, just take the firearms from them first and then deal with it later. This is all crap that I couldn't believe us Republicans were just buying into. And he's a big hypocrite about golfing. When all the Obama, and he was complaining about Obama golfing, he's golfing just as much, if not more. And he always given lip service power back to the people, but he never really did. He just kept talking about it. He praised Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, whenever they was helping him out. But did he ever help pardon Julian Assange? No. Did he help pardon Edward Snowden? No. Did he help pardon Thomas Drake, William Binning, Russell Tice? There's numerous other people that have been whistleblowers to help us know what corruption was going on. Donald Trump would not lift a finger to help any of them, and we bombarded him to try to get him to deal with this stuff. And the quantitative easing with the Federal Reserve, he was fine with all of the corporations and the doggone banks using that to bail out themselves and do stock buybacks and crap in order for them to shore up their books and walk away with their profits while they left the doggone corporations hanging. I mean, it's maybe been the best president in my lifetime, but he's still not fit to be a president, period. He's not qualified. It's crap. We just got a bunch of criminals that run for office, and we have to pick the best criminal out of all the pieces of crap. There ain't none of them worth nothing.
John, look, I like the fact that you're willing to criticize Donald Trump, because I don't think anybody in the office of president ever should be above criticism. And I'm glad to see you got a lot of problems with the things you did. I do, too. I don't blame you for bringing them up. And some, I don't agree with everything you criticize it for. But, you know, I agree with much of it. And I'll tell you one thing, though. No other president in the history of the United States, except, say, maybe Abraham Lincoln, was ever under such unwarranted siege as this one. There's no telling what his administration might have been like had he not been under this sort of unrelenting attack from all angles every day. I mean, every single peeing on the bed, peeing hookers, peeing on the bed. We've literally got a case of a guy probably doing violations of the Mann Act, which is an actual federal crime. You had Marjorie Taylor Greene show pictures indicating it was probably true, and they don't even want to see that. Oh, but they were all in for months on hookers peeing on the bed in Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do bring up a very serious point, because the fact is all of the crooks that are in our Congress, I'm talking about the Senate and House of Representatives, were so adamantly fighting against Trump, we don't really know how much of this stuff that I complain about is really truly contributable to Trump.
Well, some is, and he has to take responsibility, Chief Examiner. That's why I say, if you ever say, for instance, certain officials beyond criticism because, they're Republican or they're Democrat or they're black or whatever, that is the reason not to vote for them. Because every single elected official, I don't give a damn who it is, even if it's Donald Trump, who I like very much, has got to be subject to criticism and oversight, period. So that includes Donald Trump. The criticism and their ballot are certainly warranted. I'm simply saying I have never seen.
I think you're breaking up there.
Yeah, I think you went into a cell phone hole.
Went into robo voice mode.
He exploded. Big bang.
Yep. Okay.
Where is everybody?
Well,
is JoJo still out there?
Yeah, Robert, I'll mute myself on this end.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, one of the things that Lori Ann put that thing in there in the chat room for behind the smoke curtain, and I got that showing on one of my pages here, and that actually looks like it was filmed in Portland, Oregon. Or Vancouver, Washington, one of the two. As you can see the mountain behind me.
Yeah, I think it was.
I think
it might have been in Vancouver. You can kind of see, it looks like it might be
Mount Hood.
I'm trying to look at where it was filmed. It doesn't look like Mount Hood. It's too much of a round dome. It might.
Well, it could be.
I'm wondering if it's actually St. Helens.
No, St. Helens is not that close to Portland or Seattle. I guess there's I can't remember which one it is up outside of Seattle. There's one there too.
Rainier, yeah.
Yeah, Rainier.
Hey, I do want to say, I reserve the right to vote for Donald Trump a third time if I don't find anybody better.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's going on now with this whole thing about Jack Smith or whatever the hell his name is, he reminds me of that prosecutor in New York that went against, I can't even remember his name, Bragg, I guess. They seem like they're from the same cut of cloth, those two.
What are you talking about?
Oh, the prosecutor that's pushing all this stuff against Trump right now. Alvin Bragg was the other one, and they seem like they're just so just almost tied at the hip practically together with what they want to do. But it seems like what they're just trying to do is make sure that he can't run again. And I think that's the only thing that's going on right now.
And this is why I'm asking you all to consider my perspective of how they may move Tim Scott up to the top. The Republican corporate leadership is what I'm referring to. The Republican Party corporate leadership.
The Republican corporate leadership is not in charge right now. It's the base of the Republican Party is in charge, and that's what makes them mad. They are angry that the usual corporate leadership does not have control of the Republican Party. Whether they like it or not, it is the MAGA base that is in control of the Republican Party nomination. So they're trying to convince the MAGA base whether or not they want Donald Trump to be or not be their nominee.
Right, right. Yeah, we all know the MAGA base is basically in self-destruction mode at this point.
Well, hey, I want to set something up here. There's a difference between a globalist and the establishment Republicans and the corporatist. Corporatist, even some of our Freedom Caucus people are corporatists. They still believe in the hierarchy of chain and command to be able to rule over the lesser people. Well, under the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution, there is no title of nobility. We are equal in governing as joint owners, title, and unity. So, therefore, this nonsense is going to continue to give them status quo, king of the hill mentality to run roughshod over the rest of us. And so, within reason, Mr. Warren is right. The corporatists in our Republican Party are just as bad as the doggone one-world governing, you know, nutbags.
I absolutely agree with that one. Corporatists, they're just as bad as the oligarchs in the World Economic Forum. I don't see a dime bit of difference, and in many ways, they're worse. I agree completely with that.
But like I said, this is why I believe Tim Scott is going to be moved up to a key contender for the Republican nomination because it's already set for Trump to be taken out of this. Okay? And so nobody likes what his name is. You guys don't like the assistant, the vice president they had, Pence. You don't like Chris Christie. You don't like Haley, but they're going to – so, therefore, the only choice you're left with – because even Donald Trump has been speaking positively about Tim Scott. And really, I believe this whole thing is being played. I believe Trump knows that he ultimately won't be on that ballot for the president. And if he is, he knows he won't be able to finish out a term. And I believe they're paving the way for Tim Scott to be pumped up, to be brought up there the way they did with the way the Democrats and that element of elite leadership did with Barack Obama. The Republicans feel some Republicans I talked to feel they need to challenge this image of them being the party of the racists. And so people feel this is the proper time right now.
Yeah, well, the only way they're going to be able to keep Donald Trump off the ballot is to invoke the 14th Amendment, Section 4, against Donald Trump by cobbling this riot on January 6th into an insurrection. And that's one hell of a lot of cobbling. They're going to cobble that into an insurrection, and there's no way on God's green earth any rational mind could consider it an insurrection within the meaning of Section 4 of Article 14 of the 14th, of the United States Constitution.
Yep. I found out today one of his trials is going to be in May. One of his trials is going to be May 2024. So if his trial is going to be in May 2024 on one of those indictments, all they got to do is get a conviction.
In order to keep him off the ballot, you know, look, there's no impediment to being on the ballot for president simply because you have a criminal conviction. That is not a reason to remove you from the ballot. The Constitution states the qualifications of president. There's only three of them. There's only three qualifications to be eligible to be president. And those are the ones you have to meet to be on the ballot in any state along with the normal state requirements. No state forbids anyone with criminal convictions to be kept off the ballot in any state of the union. So, I mean for president, for running for president, that is. So, I mean, the only way they're going to be able to keep them off the ballot is to invoke Section 4 of the 14th Amendment. And that means they're going to have to cobble the riot on January 6th into a formal insurrection within the meaning of the Insurrection Act. That's a bit of legal gymnastics I'd like to see them try to accomplish.
Well, it'd be interesting, though.
You know, I like the fact that they're
dangerous. Tim Scott is not a good candidate.
I like the fact that they are calling January 6th an insurrection, because the House of Representatives and the senators who were there that day did commit an insurrection. You know, this charge that Jack Smith is trying to put against Donald Trump, it says deprivation of rights. Do you remember that one?
Yep.
That's that extrinsic fraud you hear me hollering about all the time. It's a deprivation of rights. It's a destruction of your personal private property. The self-governing of you, exactly what they're talking about. I'm, like, glad to see he's using that, because I'm going to jam it down their throat, even if I have to get a class action lawsuit, man, because I've been preaching this stuff for long. Legal minds only understand it, and most of them are crooks, so they don't like it unless they can maintain their corporate power. Thanks. Back to you.
I don't see a lot of trouble for Donald Trump in the nomination as things stand right now. Again, every time I say any of these things or anybody else says these things, they shouldn't speak of them as a snapshot of the present contemporary situation. As things stand right now, I see no significant problem for Donald Trump in getting the nomination. I haven't got a crystal ball to look over a year into the future. I don't know. But I think the problem for Donald Trump will be in the general. I think he does have maybe a bit of an uphill battle there. In fact, significant uphill. And I don't think the problem for him is getting the nomination.
Trump gets the nomination, you'll see all these charges get dropped real fast. You'll see it. They'll drop them. A lot of them.
I don't know. These people see Donald Trump as an existential threat to them now. They tried to kill the king, and they failed to kill the king. And you know what happens?
I just think you guys have been caught up into a cult-like fervor over a person. And I think you guys, it's like you all are like no different than the people that follow Jim Jones.
I've heard plenty of criticism of Donald Trump here tonight. I don't know what you're listening to, but I heard a lot of criticism of Donald Trump. We're not cultists at all. We are fully aware of his foibles and his strengths. We're not at all cult followers. We have a
Trump problems are because of his own inability to conduct himself civil manner and act professional.
Us of being mindless cultists, we are not.
I believe you guys
for his strengths and his weaknesses.
I believe you guys are caught up in the Trump the way the young American girls were when the Beatles first came to the United States.
Well, apparently then you're not listening to us, because I've heard plenty of criticism. I mean, I just heard John Doe unleash a barrage of criticism of the man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that, you know, apparently you're not listening to what we're saying. We are making it clear where he is strong and where he is weak. Well, the reason we emphasize his strength so much, though, is because so much of the mainstream media is completely oblivious to his strength. And they focus entirely on his weaknesses.
And look, man, you don't have to justify this charge.
Go ahead, Joe, my bad.
Go ahead. All right, well, I was just going to say, you know, look, man, over the past few years, we've conservative values, opinions, and political stances have been attacked left and right. We've been threatened, fired from our jobs. So we don't need to defend none of that, man. It's our time. It's coming back now, and we're taking back this country and this republic.
Trump has gotten to you all so much. You all are willing to commit violent acts, as many of you did on January
6th. No, we're not. No, we're not.
Right.
Don't say that.
Now you're saying things you have no evidence for. Now, again, the thing of it is that what makes us is so fervent is not Donald Trump.
it's the enemies arrayed against him and the things they say about him and the jive indictments they make, which is we're literate. We can read. Many of us are actually familiar with the law, and we know what is required to prove an indictment. We can look at the statutes of which they're accusing him of violating. We can look at the statutes which support him as a particular individual, particularly memorialized in one particular statute that only applies to people like him, people who are or have been presidents of the United States. And in that context, we think this whole thing is bullshit, and it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and yeah. that's why Warren, I reserve the right to vote for Donald Trump a third time if I want to, even though you just heard me litigate a bunch of stuff that I can't stand him, and I'm looking for somebody else to be the president. But out of all the different people that's running for office,
why don't you consider a third party like the Green Party then?
I do consider Cornel West and stuff.
Cornel West.
I look at everybody. I don't care what party you're in, because I'm an issues voter. I'm not a personality voter. But then again, you can't see that, so therefore you want to paint me with the same brush all
John
the time,
Doe,
and therefore
how,
you
John
insult
Doe, I know
my
how,
intelligence.
I know how enamored you are of private property and possessing it. And believe me, as much as I like Cornel West, he's a hoot. He's a real character. It's fun to listen to the guy, but believe me, he is the ultimate socialist. You will have no private property in effect if Cornel West.
You don't hear Cornel articulate you express or display the signs of fanaticism on the right. With anybody who disagrees with your perspective.
Because they threaten you to use violence, they're unconstitutional, everything they provoke and say. So, yes, we are against that.
Okay. Well, I can tell you what Cornel West has said in the past about the way we ought to be governed, and I think I'm speaking from a reasonable basis to say that he is an out-and-out partisan.
He was a member
of the Democrat Socialists of America. I can tell you what he said.
And if any of you are a true American patriots, you will be against corporate control of disproportionate amount of wealth. You will be against U.S. imperialism. But Donald Trump stood for all that stuff.
Okay. Well, I can be against that, and I can be against the socialists, too. I can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Is there anything Donald Trump did good as president in your eyes? Or is there any proof that you have that any policy Donald Trump did?
One good thing I think Trump did was he added more money for the historically black college universities to have than the little amount that they were getting. I do think that was a positive thing he did.
Okay. All right.
Even though I think that is unconstitutional, I still agree with you. He helped out.
I don't think he should have did that.
Okay, I'm going to have to break in here for a second. Everybody's in the chat room who is not on the phone. I'm coming up on the end of the second hour, and you guys are going to lose us. Everybody who's on the phone is still there.
Give them the phone number. Tell them to call in.
Yeah. It's 646-478-5284. Everybody's in there, though.
Now, where Donald Trump was a skillful communicator that the Democrats missed out on, he spoke to the working class white people. He really spoke to them because they had been ignored by much of the liberal establishment. That's why a lot of you guys are excited about them. And that is a mistake to ignore the white working class who are confused about what's happening in America, why they are losing their jobs, why their communities seem to be gutted.
We're not confused, Warren.
I think a lot of you are confused, yeah.
Hey, Warren.
Trump is a billionaire. okay? So he wouldn't be comfortable around you guys in reality. He wouldn't be comfortable around you guys.
But Warren, don't you remember
that? Well, much of the American loss of jobs is due to globalization. Donald Trump was the most foremost presidential candidate out of both parties against globalizational impulse.
I've seen no evidence of that.
Just the renegotiating trade policy with China is proof positive of that. When you're talking about literally almost all of the medical essentials that were needed to protect us during COVID, almost all of them were coming from China, and Donald Trump highlighted that. That alone was more than almost anyone else was saying.
Yeah, and look what he did, Sarge, with Rocket Man over there. Made friends with North Korea, you know?
Yeah, Rocket Man still launching rockets.
Yeah, that's because of Biden, you know?
You want to be North Korea?
Hey, don't forget what Trump set up all of those minority investment zones too. That
I don't know anything about all of that.
Well, I can't help you. Somebody got your head in the sand or something around.
I haven't seen any of that stuff. A lot of that stuff is not true.
Wait, Warren, just because I haven't seen anything that you talk about doesn't mean it's not true.
A lot of that stuff is not true.
He hasn't seen any of it, and then he says it's not true.
A lot of stuff is not true.
I mean, I might not know about something. That doesn't mean it's not true.
Trump was, I do think Trump should be given credit because he was a skillful politician, able to persuade the people about what he was about. And that's what makes him an effective politician. He catered to a certain group of American voters who felt that they were being ignored.
Okay.
Hey, Warren.
As a point of information, I just like to say, as a matter of fact, Donald Trump in his 2017 tax plan created something called Opportunity Zone. Incentives meant to encourage investment in low-income communities.
I don't know whether it was a formal program.
I'm just telling you, whether you know about it or not, it was a formal program outlined by his administration. You can go to the White House website from that time period. It was passed. Congress approved it through legislation. It was a real thing, whether you know about it or not.
Yeah, I think y'all better start getting used to another candidate that y'all might want to see run for president. So y'all might want to get ready to boot up Tim Scott. Y'all might want to get ready for that.
I don't want a happy warrior. I don't want a happy warrior for president. I want a fighter. I want somebody that's going to get bare knuckle brawling with these people who want to destroy this Constitutional Republic.
Tim Scott's much of
a happy warrior for me.
Tim Scott made a comment, Sarge, we should make people get back to work. I had red flag right there. That's caring, man.
I'm not saying I don't like him. I do like him. I'm just saying right now I want somebody that's going to take the gloves off and bare knuckle brawl with these people trying to destroy the Constitutional Republic.
Trump has had people fighting each other, and his presence there will only continue to increase the fight. He was probably the most divisive figure that we've seen in a very long time.
Did he do a speech like the Phantom of the Opera with Marines standing behind him calling half the country possible terrorists and a threat to the Republic? He said the entire MAGA Republican movement was a dire threat to the Republic. Now, how can you be more divisive than that? And he's done it repeatedly. He is the most divisive president in the history of the United States by virtue of his speeches.
Historians on the right and the left in the future will not look favorably upon Donald Trump's presidency. I guarantee you.
They're going to go back and look at what Joe Biden has done. Again, the speeches he gave was something I've never seen another president say about a large portion of the American public. And he did it in a blood-trenched, blood-pinched, Phantom of the Opera-esque type speech with Marines standing at attention in the background.
What you see?
Never seen the right before.
I think Warren likes Trump. He wants Trump to win again. That's why he keeps talking about him so much.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me, because whoever wins presidency is going to go the way of the elite. That's the way that's going to work. So it doesn't matter whether Trump wins or not. All I'm doing is confronting what I consider Trump cult members. I consider you guys Trump cult members.
All right, so why don't you just give up then and let Trump take the blame for it? Let's not have a good Democrat take the blame for this thing.
Warren, you just hate everything that's conservative, Warren. He hates everything that's conservative. He's anti-conservative. You hate everything that's conservative, and no matter what we say or
do,
you're against.
I am anti-conservative, because conservatism means to maintain the status quo.
So we have a division in this country, Warren. There's a division. And you know what? So there's no compromise with people like yourself. There's no compromise. There's no justification for anything we do.
When I'm saying that we want the status quo, because that literally is not true. He does not understand what conservatism means.
That's what conservatism means, sir. Look at the etymology of the word.
Conservatives and Barry Goldwater conservatives. That is not what conservatism means, because clearly you haven't studied. I have. What it means is to preserve the founding principles of the nation, the Constitution of the Republic, and a whole host of other things that have been shown over the long haul of human existence to be best for the public and the commonwealth. That is what we wish to preserve. That does not mean no change, because many things that are now considered mainstream conservatism went along with a great deal of change, starting with the American Revolution in 1776.
You conservatives do not believe in any amendment beyond the 10 amendments, okay?
Again, there you go again. I mean, the very principle that the Constitution is amended means it was done in accordance with constitutional principles. You have to have 3/4 of the states to ratify an amendment. So we believe
Joe Gibson, if
3/4 of the legislatures of the United States decide to amend the Constitution, that is the very definition of constitutionalism.
Joe Gibson wants to restore the Republic, and he wants to cut all amendments after the 10 amendments. Right, Joe?
Okay. Joe, you're here. Why don't you answer that, sir? He just said you want to eliminate and repeal every amendment after amendment number 10. Is that what you want to do, Joe?
No.
I want to know, Warren,
what's wrong with cutting all the amendments after 10?
Because
didn't we repeal the 18th Amendment?
Because those amendments. Those amendments.
Well, what is
after
it? We're not allowed to repeal amendments now? We repeal the Volstead Act.
Those amendments after 10 allowed protections for elements of the population that had not been protected under the first 10 amendments.
Okay, I understand that. And I'm simply saying that it wouldn't be anything new for the people of the United States.
We don't need them. We have the Declaration of Independence. We have the Bill of Rights. Okay?
So now you're admitting, huh, Joe? So now you admit that we don't need the amendments after 10, right, Joe?
No, not every single one, but most of them, though, we'd have to get rid of. I think the 14th Amendment is a good one. We need to look at the Equal Protection Clause, because it really does enslave all of us.
But we had that in the Article 1, Sections 9 and 10, no title, no nobility. Article 4, Section 2, the citizens of each state shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of citizens in the several states. That was just a repeat for ignorant people that was manipulating the system, and the masses being ignorant, being the little useful idiots.
John Doe, they changed the word person from citizen to person, and that's very important.
Yeah. And there was one single important distinction. The most significant part of the 14th Amendment was that it reversed the way citizenship in the United States was obtained. Originally, the way you became a United States citizen, meaning a United States federal citizen, was first a state had to accept you as a citizen of their state, and by doing so, you were then a citizen of the United States. The 14th Amendment reversed that because the Confederacy didn't want to grant citizenship in their state to newly freed slaves. So they passed the 14th Amendment in order to ensure that that wouldn't happen.
There was a lot of semantics going on in order to justify the crookedness that they did not want to uphold the Declaration of Independence, because the Declaration of Independence had nothing to do with all this slavery nonsense people always want to throw up, and three-fifths of a person stuff would have never been in the United States Constitution in the first place. But in order to get things to move on ahead, they gave us the fifth Article 5 in order to manipulate that so we could at least get the the best country on the face of the planet started. Otherwise, it wouldn't have started. But now we need to realize the true spirit, hope, and promise of the Declaration of Independence to the letter of the law by correctly describing how the United States Constitution is supposed to uphold the spirit, hope, and promise of the Declaration of Independence and stop this perverted manipulation and screwball-y way of
manipulating.
Hang
on a second, John Doe. The Constitution isn't supposed to uphold it. It's we, the people, that are supposed to uphold it with the Constitution in hand. Okay?
Right. But
so we're supposed
too
to use it as a tool.
Interpretations.
Yeah, well, that's because we're not...
That's why we have people that feel the other constitutional amendments do not have any support for them to justify getting rid of them. I'm saying we got to get back to the spirit, hope, and promise of the Declaration of Independence and realize that in the United States Constitution, and quit allowing this perverted interpretation of the United States Constitution to nullify the Declaration of Independence.
Now, Sarge, let me ask you this, Sarge. So you believe there are two? How y'all say, Joe? They got two constitutions. One is the carbon. How y'all say that, Joe?
The organic constitution, the organic, and the corporate.
Now explain that, Sarge. Explain that.
I can't explain it. The only one I know of is one that was ratified in 1787 and has been amended 27 times since the ratification of 17. I don't know of any other constitution. I don't recognize any other constitution.
Well, I'm confused now, Joe, because Sarge said he recognized one constitution. You said they got two out there.
He can recognize all he wants to, but we're underneath this. We're not under that constitution anymore. We're underneath the United States, the corporation.
Well, you're talking about a de facto constitution, not a de jure constitution, right?
We are living under the de facto right now. We're not a de jure. We don't have the de jure form of government no more. And that's purely self-evident because all our laws have been codified. That's why we have statutes and ordinances now.
We're living under the rule of man, deceitfully masquerading under the color of law. We do not have a constitution, period.
Exactly.
I think you guys are speaking in a practical sense, and there may be some truth to what you say, but I'm simply saying as far as formal legality, the only one I recognize is the one that's been ratified by the 3/4 states and the delegates to the original Constitution. That's the only one I recognize.
Yep. You know, it'd be fun. I would like to sit in a room with all you conservatives and constitutionalists and watch y'all battle it out while I eat popcorn and drink beer. Boy, that'll be some fun.
Yeah, but we don't mind having these. See, that's just it, though. Which other point we got to make you one? We don't mind having these discussions. We are open
to all reasons and arguments.
We are open to all disagreements among ourselves. We are willing to listen to them all and debate them like they did in the Constitutional Convention, often heatedly.
In some of these states, the MAGA Republicans are actually getting into fights at the state legislatures with each other.
Well,
they're accusing each other of mismanaging.
Two years ago, they said duels.
Yeah, but I'm just seeing how Trump got you guys messed up in the head. If you believe in something,
you should be willing to defend it passionately, particularly when it comes to the manner in which we are governed. Now, as far as
like January 6th.
I kind of like to pull it short of that, but I don't have any problem with people passionately defending what they believe on principle.
Like January 6th at the Capitol?
And Warren, Warren, for the last month, you've been participating in most of all of these shows and eating your popcorn, but you've been also allowed to speak. So you've already been enjoying your popcorn.
Because I think that some of you are wise enough to know an intellectual and educated person when you hear one.
We are willing to entertain all reasoned and rational arguments, even the ones we disagree with. We mean
and
that.
Sometimes I think y'all get tired of hearing each other say the same thing all week.
Well, we don't say the same thing all week.
So you look forward. You look forward,
no,
you look forward
you
to
know
another
what it
one
is?
Coming in.
I don't believe we've ever been confronted with more threats to the Constitutional Republic than exists right now. That's why we need, that's why we keep saying the same thing. Because far more concerned are we with those threats than we are with our relatively minor differences. The threats, we think, are of orders of magnitude far greater than any differences we have with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Better believe that.
And that's what.
Wow.
Can't decide what a woman is these days. When it's actually real arguments and heated ones about what constitutes a woman. And good Lord, I don't know how much more fundamental you can get to a disagreement than that.
And Warren, the more people like you that complain about trying to make me look like I'm a bad guy and I hate black people and stuff, that just makes me like Trump more. And you just heard me tell you how much I can't stand the guy. But the more you guys pound it, try to paint me in that same brush, you know, in that corner, the more I'm, if I had to vote today, yeah, I'd vote Mr. Trump.
Yep.
Yeah,
and you can you can pat yourself on the back for that. You and people like that are pushing me to Trump.
I mean,
what do you
mean? Explain yourself more detail. I'm confused.
It makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, you know,
every person you say you want to say white nationalist is automatically racist, but you don't want to describe or define what nationalist means. You just want to talk about white nationalists as being racist.
Wait.
See, you do this every time. The point of it is nationalist doesn't mean racism. And if any one of us want to support our country, we're nationalists, whether we're black, brown, white, or any color. So therefore, you know, any of your friends that happen to be of a different color than white that happen to embrace their country, then you're talking about them as if they're racist. Ooh, they're black nationalists.
I want you to look up, Warren. I want you to look up 28 U.S. Code. Look up 28 U.S. Code 3002.
Let me address that, what he said. See, that's where you're being dishonest with the use of words. Because if I say cornbread and bread, they don't mean the same thing. If somebody said, well, what is cornbread? And somebody said, well, what is bread? What is bread? And we know cornbread is a different consistency than regular wheat bread we eat at the table or make a sandwich with. So the word nationalism, that was never an issue in the conversation Tommy Tuberville had with journalists. The term was white nationalist. And we know that term has always been used by self-described groups who say that they belong to the superior race and hate other groups. They call themselves white nationalists.
But what you what you don't get is you're trying to paint me with that same brush and force me into that category, so therefore I'm always going to fight against that because I'm not a racist.
No, if you're a white nationalist.
Okay, let's take a look at that. Now, so because the press has decided to focus on an exclusive meaning for the term, quote, white nationalist, unquote.
So
that
you know what that
only,
term is all
now, Let me finish. I'm almost finished. So that means there's only one definition for white nationalist. So it is not possible to be a nationalist and to be white without being labeled pejoratively. Is it possible? I just want to know. Is it possible to be a white nationalist and not have a negative connotation pertaining to it? Yes or no?
Sorry. Wait a minute. You're being intellectually dishonest to say you got 2 million votes.
I'm asking a straight up question. Let me try it again. Maybe you didn't understand me. Let me try it again.
then the word nationalist has a distinct meaning in the dictionary. The word white, as a term applied to a racial group of people, has another distinct meaning in the dictionary. Now, when you combine the two words together, white followed by nationalist, does that mean a pejorative connotation inherently? This is what I want to know.
You look up the two words together and see what definitions you come up with.
I know that's not what I'm asking you. I didn't ask you what the popular definition is. Popular definition. I want to know if you think it's possible to put the words white and nationalist together without there being a negative connotation to it. That's what I want to know.
No.
Because I believe there is. I believe it is possible to have a person who is a white nationalist and have absolutely no negative connotation.
I know you would.
That's
yes, you would,
Sarge. No,
yes,
I don't need to have the popularity of the crowd to buttress me in my belief. Do you?
Yeah. I know
I didn't need for you to agree with me. I just wanted an answer. I think I got it now. Fine.
And it doesn't mean you're right in terms of how the word has always been used.
I didn't expect you to think I'm right. I'm asking you what you think, and I think I now know the answer.
If any of the guys on this line tell me they are white nationalists, then yes, they have told me they are racist by saying those two words together.
Okay, well, we don't agree. What
you're deceiving yourself, Warren, to believe that, because it doesn't make sense to me that you would cut your own throat to believe something just because somebody told you that's what you wanted to believe. Just because a certain group of the population uses white nationalists in that negative connotation does not make it true for the whole of all of our society around the United States or the world.
Can I ask you a question?
Exactly. Now, they're saying the same things about people who want to be physically fit. They're white supremacists, so they want to be physically fit. I've heard the more absurd things around the claim to racism than I've ever heard in my life in the contemporary United States today. Everything can literally have a racist connotation. I mean everything.
Sorry, let me ask you this. Can you eat cornbread made with no cornmeal? Is it cornbread with no cornmeal?
By definition, it wouldn't be.
But
human beings are neither corn nor meal. Human beings are rational, reasoning, and apply definite meanings to words. And words
and human
have meaning.
And human beings who have historically used the term white nationalist to apply to themselves are saying
some
that
of
they
them
are
have,
proud racist.
Some of them have. Not all of them have done it with a racist connotation. You seem to think that it's true.
I know it's true. I know it to be true.
I don't agree.
All my life when I've heard it used.
A nationalist is simply a person who is devoted to the country above all others. That is simply all nationalists mean.
Gentlemen,
that's an appellation describing someone of a particular racial background.
Now, I don't see how the two are inherently
negative when they are combined. I reject it every single time I hear it. Now, if you talk about a specific white nationalist who I know is a racist, then I will agree with you, but only then.
Sarge, I have never seen a white person participating in a civil rights movement saying I am a white nationalist.
Okay. Perhaps your circle of associations is limited. Have you ever thought about that?
You don't know any whites who participate in the civil rights movement who say that also.
I said perhaps it is because you don't seem to know any. You just said so.
You don't know any whites who participated in efforts to assist blacks for their rights who said they were white nationalists.
Okay.
You've seen them on the opposite end.
I know what I just said. I speak clearly, and I speak unequivocally. Let me say it again. A nationalist is a person
sometimes
who strongly identifies with their nation and absolutely, utterly supports its best interests and its national security. That's what a nationalist is. A white person is a person identified with a Caucasian or Caucasoid race. Now, I don't care how combining the two makes that a pejorative. I reject it every time it occurs, unless you are talking about a specific white person who I know is a racist by their beliefs, their actions, and their expressed words.
Yeah, and Warren, you pushing all white people into that category is racist in itself.
Definitely.
Lori last week read from an article that she recommended, and it gave the use of the term white nationalism historically and contemporarily, and it backed up my position.
Let me tell you something about contemporary perspective. Once upon a time, there was a wonderful word in the English language. You know what that word was? It was the word gay.
Asshole.
Gay meant celebratory and festive. That's what it meant. That word has now been hijacked by leftist radicals in the degenerate transvestite LGBTQIA movement. But once upon a time, it didn't mean homosexual or queer. It meant gay and festive. It meant celebratory and festive. That's what the word gay meant. People can hijack any word. They can hijack any phrase for their own nefarious purposes. It doesn't mean that I'm required to accept it.
And right now they're trying to hijack patriot as being a bad thing.
Now, I used to love the word gay. Can't even use it anymore except in one context.
Well, look, the bottom line
is this. Let me ask Sarge a question. Sarge, what does the term black nationalism, what does that mean in its use in the United States, black nationalists?
Well, I'm a black nationalist, so what do you think it means to me?
So you are a supporter of the Black Panther Party?
Okay, let me say it again. I am a black nationalist.
I strongly identify with my own nation.
I vigorously support its best interests. Okay? That makes me a nationalist, and I happen to be black. Now, tell me what's wrong with anything I just said.
That's not what the term have meant.
I don't
care. It's not what they are.
You are revisionist.
I am literate,
and I can read the dictionary. And I just
You are a black person who advocates white nationalism.
That's your interpretation, and it's perverted. I read literally what the word says in the dictionary. I am a nationalist, and I happen to be black. There are white people who are nationalists who happen to be black whose interests align precisely with mine.
The term black nationalism has always been referred to black radical groups.
Who were perceived as
anti-American, such as the Black Panther Party and all of the other black revolutionary groups. Those groups have been and are referred to as black nationalist group, and Sarge knows that, and he's being intellectually dishonest.
Yeah, because I used to be one of them. That's why I know.
You used to be a black nationalist, right? Let me explain something to you.
Now, since I know this, and I know I, too, brought into a perverted definition of black nationalist as is white nationalist, I now reject. Like many of the other beliefs I once had, I reject them. I have adopted a new set of beliefs because I have a new life of understanding. I am a black man who is a nationalist who thinks his country's interests, for instance, come over and above the interests of illegal aliens. That makes me a nationalist.
Say what it is, Sarge. You are a black man who believes in white nationalism.
No, see, you don't speak for me. I just spoke for myself.
You're no longer a black nationalist.
But you don't speak for me. I speak for myself infinitely better than you.
I'm speaking for you.
You're not speaking for me, sir. When you have the hubris and the arrogance to deign to speak for someone else who is more than capable of speaking for himself.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can speak for myself better than you can speak for me.
Now, you can believe that I am, but you are not capable of speaking for me.
I am speaking for Sarge because he's drunk with
disillusion. You're not, sir.
And
get
so
out,
therefore,
sir.
I
like
have
I said,
to speak for them because
you're
speaking
like
accurately.
Take unto themselves to decide for those persons what they actually are. They will not allow you to tell you what they actually are.
No,
yeah.
Wait. Warren is telling you that he is a black person that supports white nationalism because he's so interested in trying to convince you and us that he wants to be with us.
I know what he's trying to do,
level.
But it's not working. It's not working.
He's trying to say that we're all on a pedestal and he wants to be on the pedestal with us. And we're saying, what pedestal are you talking about? You're just as welcome on the pedestal as anybody else.
Trump supporter, you're trying to convince me that white nationalism is a benign belief. And I'm That ain't what it is. White nationalism is
So in other words, the objective meaning of the word nationalist can never be applied to a white person. Is that what you're saying to me?
I tell you.
No, you please answer my questions once in a while. It's a simple question. Can the word nationalist be objectively applied in its objective meaning to a white person?
He won't answer because,
because he knows what the answer has to be.
Yep. He doesn't answer any questions.
I believe the same thing as you do, Sarge. I am white, and I'm a nationalist, so that makes me a white nationalist, but I'm not a racist.
Robert.
I would agree with you.
Honest, Robert.
I am.
You're honest with the use of that word. You're playing games, gentlemen.
So you won't answer the question.
Robert,
do you hear a question here? This was my question to Warren. Do you believe it is possible to obtain to a white person the description of nationalist without that person being a racist? Yes or no?
I'm answering your question. If the white person asserts that they are a white nationalist, they are telling me they are a racist.
Okay, what if they say they're a nationalist? And I'll just say this, what if you ask them, Mr. White person, are you a nationalist? The person says, yes, I'm a nationalist. And then you follow up that question with, because I'm giving you a hypothetical, which is perfectly consistent, then he follows, but are you a white nationalist? And then I'm white and I'm nationalist. Now, does that being a racist?
If the white person says that they're a nationalist and then have to add the word white in front of it, what's
no,
the point?
No, you didn't hear my question. You don't answer the questions I ask. You ask a white person, are you a nationalist? And the white person says, yes, I'm a nationalist. Then you follow it up with another question. Well, does that make you a white nationalist? The man ponders for a moment and says, yes, I'm white and I'm a nationalist. I guess I'm a white nationalist. And then you accuse him of being a
racist. If the person doesn't have sense enough to clarify his use of the term white nationalism, then he or she is telling me they are racist. Yes.
I get it. Okay, I understand now. You answered my question. Thank you very much. I got the answer now. I had to work to get it from you, but I got the answer. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So Warren believes in taking advantage of people because of the lack of knowledge. He wants to exploit the ignorance of people that he wants to exploit. So therefore,
that's exactly what he's doing.
Oh, yeah, he always likes doing that.
Before you all go to bed, I want y'all to look up those two words together, white nationalism, and all references you find will refer to it as a racist, okay? Now, what you all is creating, it's like, you know what y'all doing? If somebody said I'm the devil, but that doesn't mean I'm bad, that's kind of like what y'all say. Well, I'm the devil? You're telling me I'm bad because I'm the devil?
Well, it depends on the context. We got sports teams all over the nation called devils. The Marines call themselves devil dogs. So, I mean, it depends on what the context is.
You're evil, Warren. You're evil black racist.
I'm just saying. You know.
You're entitled to your opinion. I believe you're a white nationalist, which means you're a racist. You've told me you're a white nationalist, so you're telling me you're a racist.
Okay, I get it.
We're so racist,
okay.
And why are
Let's
you on this
way.
Phone call?
Let's put it this way, Warren. We don't buy into your definition
because,
and mainstream
it's important.
Leftist
That's
radical
a very good
description
question.
Of
That's
what
a very good
nationalist.
Question.
We don't buy
That's a very good question.
Don't
it's important.
Any
it's
more
important
than I accept the
people.
Fact that they hijacked the word gay. I don't accept that either.
It's important for people like myself to get very close to people like you who think the way you do. That's very important
yes,
for me.
You can report back to your
I'll
superiors.
Tell you one thing.
Yes.
I won't lie to you. I won't lie to you. I promise you that. You will know what I'm thinking.
You've been lying all night, so you've been lying about the word white nationalism and black nationalism. You've been lying.
I know I have, and I literally described what a white nationalist is.
No, you made up something. No, you made up something.
No, you made up something. You and your left buddy
made up something.
No, no, you and your left buddy made up that description. They were white nationalists for the 19th century, and they didn't consider them racist inherently.
But what?
This is a late 20th century description of white nationalism that you have bought into.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Trump supporter. What you were saying, Trump supporter?
See what I mean? You don't answer my question.
No, I was going to say, Warren, you apparently feel comfortable enough that you want to get close enough to us and you call us racist. I mean, that's pretty weird. It's kind of like an oxymoronic statement. If you think we're that racist, then why would you want to be so close to us? You sure like us. I appreciate it.
Listen to me. Unlike you guys who like to talk to
the same
people.
You're his superiors.
Let me finish saying. Unlike you guys who like to be around each other all day, every day, I like to go into foreign territory and to know what people think and say so
yeah.
I could understand how you're trying to think out a thought.
And why do you do that, Warren? Who do you
because
work for?
It's important for a person to have knowledge. I believe in knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
See, let me tell you something. The Prophet Muhammad had these sayings. They call these sayings the hadith.
You're a 3%er. You're a 3%er. Oh.
Let me. I don't even know what 3%ers is. Listen. The Prophet Muhammad
5%.
Had these wise sayings. And one of the wise sayings was, one learned man is harder on the devil than 1,000 ignorant worshipers.
And you know what else he said? He said, you wake up with earwax in your ear. You got piss in your ear.
Ear. The white nationalist said that. The white nationalist prophet said that.
No,
Joe, you white nationalists are some sort of exotic zoological species that here come in.
Yeah,
you know, like collecting
that's right, Sarge. That's right, Sarge. Tell him, Sarge.
That's exactly right. I know. Believe me, I know. Yeah. I know.
That's right, Sarge.
It's an exotic zoological species like a monarch butterfly or something.
That's
yeah.
right, Sarge. You know it, Sarge. Sarge read 2 million books. He knows everything.
Mostly everything, not quite everything. I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, you tell him, Sarge. You tell him what it is.
Since you're this exotic species, he's having trouble understanding. Kind of like aliens from another planet.
We're speaking
the language of the Constitution, the language of liberty, the language of objective rights, the language
devil,
of Montesquieu, the language of Hume, the language of Bastiat, the language of all the things that led to the Glorious Revolution and the American Revolution.
Yeah.
Alien language to Mr. Warren, and he's trying to...
Yeah, because I speak the language of real, true freedom fighters. I speak the language of David Walker.
Yeah,
I speak the language
Bernard,
of Matt Turner. I speak
yeah,
the language
France
of Bernard. Martin Luther King.
France
I speak Bernard. The language of Malcolm X. That's the language
I speak. Newton, too. Yep,
that's
yep,
the language
yep,
I speak.
Yeah, I know who you're reading, sir. You know who I'm reading. I know who you're reading. And I've read them.
The 5%er.
I know who you're reading. You're reading David Duke. I know who you're reading.
I read
you're
him, too. I read everybody
you're
I get my hands on. I got a copy of Mein Kampf. Hey, I got a copy of Mein Kampf, in case you didn't know. I also have a copy of Frantz Fanon's Wretched of the Earth. I've got that, Brother Warren.
Well, read it.
I've got
read
all
it.
Of it.
Read his black skin and white mask. Read that one. But go ahead, Trump supporter.
That's one I don't have.
Tell us what a 5%er believes.
I know you don't have that.
Tell everybody what a 5%er believes. Tell us what the foundation of a 5%er believes, Warren.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, you don't know about it? Let me tell you about it. John Malvo Muhammad, the D.C. sniper, he was a 5%er. Didn't you know that?
Yep. I don't know what 5%ers are.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Shall we educate him? What do you think? Do you want to educate him?
Yeah, just educate him, you gang member.
Okay, I'll educate you there, brother. I'll educate him. They used to call themselves the Nation of Gods and Earth. And they were kind of this black nationalist movement. Oh, did I use that word the wrong way? Anyhow, that's the way the people who do it.
Yeah, what you are, right?
Hold up.
They ain't were what you say you are, right? They are black nationalists like you are, right, Sarge?
No. I am black.
Oh, yeah, he's coming on his words now.
Okay.
Nice of
let me,
words.
Let me, yeah, I've got, because with you, since you want to be disingenuous.
I'm going to precisely define
the type of nationalist that I am. I am a black United States nationalist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now that way you can't pigeonhole me in the category you want to put me.
You are a black.
All right. So yeah. Well, wait a minute now. Let's now you want to talk about me again. You don't want to know
that's
what the 5%
are. Sarge. Sarge, he hates you because you got away from that type of belief and thinking. That's why. So
I know. I know. I did. I know. That's why I know all this stuff. Because I was studying it.
You're a traitor to him. That's why.
I know. I'm a race traitor. That's the worst sort of trade.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't participate in the right side on the race war.
Yeah.
All right, but again, do you want to know what the 5% is all about?
No, Sarge. Sarge, you stated what side you would be in a so-called race war. I'm already clear on that.
I've already told you. And what side did I tell you I was going to be on,
Warren? I know you told me.
Warren,
let's
be honest now. What side did I tell you I was going to be on? Answer
on
honestly.
The white nationalist side.
Now, you're a liar.
Hang on. Sarge, let me really get go. Hey, Warren,
see,
when I was in the chat.
No, he just did that. He knows
go
I didn't
go,
say
go,
that.
Go, 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 that go, go ahead.
Hey,
wait,
Warren,
Joe,
when I was in.
Joe, he knows I didn't say that, and he just said I said it. And he knows I didn't say that.
Joe, go ahead, Joe. What you saying, Joe?
I can have an honest discussion with somebody like this.
Go ahead,
when
Joe,
I was
go
in
ahead.
Osborne Correctional Institution, I checked in protective custody 70, you 5%ers.
Okay.
Check you guys in.
We ought to tell them what the 5%ers are, though. I mean, whenever we can educate someone objectively, we ought to.
I'll go read about the 5%.
Right, well,
you don't need to hear
your
lecture about it, okay?
You're right. You shouldn't take my word for it because you can't get anything right now, I say.
I'm not going to take your word for it because you done already screwed up.
Don't look it up for yourself. I'm not telling anything.
That's right.
Look up for yourself.
Because you done already screwed up
the
word white nationalism and black nationalism.
Go research it for yourself. You don't need me to tell you. Good.
I will.
Let's move on now. That's enough.
Hey, you can.
Now
you
we
can,
know
oh,
who
more
is, though.
Sarge, on my benefit, you can explain what 5%er is. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, look it up, sir. Read about it. I don't want
he
his talk. Sarge,
me to do it.
Sarge has a
me.
Tendency.
You don't have to trust me, but he does. Good Lord. Will you stop? Why are you interfering with the man's ability to learn from me? You don't have to learn. Why'd you turn the volume down for about the next minute and 25 seconds? Turn it back up. You have to learn it from me. Okay? Let me talk to Sarge.
I believe that you're somebody that I can work with in good faith. Warren is not somebody who works in good faith. So I want to hear from you.
No, you're a bootleg devil. You're the blue-eyed devil.
All right, well, again, one, if you don't want to learn from me, you can turn out or leave the whatever. Let me speak to this gentleman. I'm explaining what a 5%er is, and after about a minute and 30 seconds, you come back, you won't learn anything from me.
Let me ask Robert a question. I want to ask Robert a question.
Why are you trying to keep Robert from learning something?
I want to ask Robert a question.
God.
Fine.
Robert.
Yes.
Why you keep mute me and unmute me?
Well,
you won't
one
shut
thing,
up.
You won't shut up, exactly.
But you let Sarge run his mouth and screaming like this.
You better time me and see how long I speak compared to you. I mean, we got a tape right here. All you got to do is go back and listen to the length of time, take a clock, again, make racist mathematics, and see how many seconds I speak versus how many seconds you speak. I guarantee you got more time than me.
Now, can we get on the subject here? Let Sarge demonstrate what a 5%er is, because it's very important.
Okay.
Go for it.
You let me know when you're ready to drop out. You have to learn anything from me, sir. And I can tell it to the gentleman who asked me if I can explain to him what a 5%er is. I would like to explain to him since he made the request of me. But you're welcome to stay and listen if you'd like to, Warren. I don't have any objection. Okay.
Right,
5%er. 5%ers were founded about the year between 1960 and 1964 back in Harlem in New York. Okay? And there was some guy who called himself some of a religious name. I believe it's something like Allah or the founder, Allah the Father, something like that, Clarence 13X.
Shabazz.
They believe, huh?
Yeah, Shabazz. I'll get to Elijah something with Shabazz. Go ahead.
It might be, but anyway, the founder was a guy. I think the guy was Clarence 13X. Anyway, they believe that they are Allah's selected 5%ers, you know, kind of like the chosen ones. And they believe that 10% of the people of the world are elite. And they're agents who know the truth of the reason the world exists and it's coming to being. And they opt to keep 85% of the world in complete ignorance of what actually is going on and under their complete rule and their complete authority. And remaining 5%, which is the 5%ers, are the people who actually know the truth, and they are going to enlighten all the other 85% who are the ones that are simply need to be brought into the fold and into the light. Now, that's basically it. John Malbo Muhammad, the sniper in D.C., was a 5%er. Of course, they believe that black people, they believe the black people of the world are the original people of planet Earth, and they are the creators of civilization. That's another thing that 5%ers believe. I was very much enthralled by a brother named Punjab Salim X, who taught me all about that. He used to sit a bunch of us young brothers, we were about 14 to 15, on the playground in school, and he would lecture us for hours on these concepts. And we would sit there enthralled. He was very good. I wish you all could hear him. He was really entertaining to listen.
Yep.
Now, there's a lot of other stuff that's kind of esoteric. It goes in a lot, goes into weeds and all that. They got a lot of very convoluted and complex beliefs.
Okay.
But the real guy's name was Fred. I think it was there was another guy that was the a white guy, actually. He's the one that actually started it.
Oh, they were big in jail, too. I mean, they are really big in the prisons, especially back in the
60s. Again.
They were a big part of the prison population. Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely.
Okay,
but they hate white people. Let's put it that way. They hate them. They can't stand them, and they believe you're worthy of death, actually. So.
Yeah, Francis Cress Welsing is kind of an offshoot of a lot of things they believe. Francis Cress Welsing, if you ever read the ISIS papers, The Key to the Colors, I don't know if you ever read any of her writings. She believes that white people are genetic mutant recessives who were expelled from Africa because of their aberrant conduct and exiled to the caves of Europe, where they kept inbreeding their recessive genes. And they spread forth, infect the world, the plant for genocide.
She's never said that. You're telling a lie on that lady. That lady never said that.
She hasn't said anything there. You want me to read passages from the book? I know you don't want to believe anything that I say.
Deal with what the lady said scientifically. Okay?
Sir, I'm generalizing.
No. She did not say the stuff you
think. The only way to go into it scientifically to read what she claims is science.
And you don't. And she didn't say what you say she's saying. And you, if nothing you got, she said you could read.
Yes, she did. Okay. Do you? Okay. Let me see if you disagree with this. She described people as genetically defective mutants. Is that true or
she
not?
She never said that. She never said
yes, she
that.
Did. Yes,
she never
she
said
did.
That. Find a word where she said it in. Find where she said
it. Okay, I'm going to get the book and read it to you, okay? Then you say, Gina said, that's hard reading. He's making it up. Is that what you would say? Because I can't show you the book. I don't want to tell about
it. That's because you're not telling the truth. That's why.
See, that's what I mean. So you're not prepared to believe anything. Well, just take my word for it. I don't care.
Listen.
I don't care if you take my word for it or not.
Listen. It broke away from the Nation of Islam in 1964, okay?
Yes.
Okay, so 5% is right there. Even the Nation of Islam doesn't want them. They're so.
They're pretty hyper. They're like the elite. They're roughly like the SS.
Yes.
They're really elite. But the President did say that white racism, white supremacy is a conspiracy to ensure white genetic survival. Now I know she said that. You're gonna disagree with me.
Wait, are you gonna disagree with me? I'm not gonna talk about the value of it.
Do you agree, yes or no, that
you
said that?
No, she didn't say the other stuff.
Oh, you don't
want to
agree with that either. Okay.
She did say what you said, but she didn't say the other stuff you said she said.
Okay. Well, I tell you what.
And the white nationalists say that themselves.
Okay. I don't care what white nationals say. I got the book.
Also associated.
I can read the book.
They're also associated with the black and Bruno
fans. I don't care what they say. I got the book right in front of me.
Also
you read nothing from what she said.
The black gorilla family, which is also a gang inside the prisons.
Joe, you know more about that than I do. I've never gone to jail before, so you're an expert on that more than I am.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. I don't care what people say about the book when I can read the book because I got it in my library. I don't care what they say. I got my talk, too.
But why would you be
opposed
to that?
When people say something about Adolf Hitler, I go, write this book. No, this is what he said. On page, that while he was long-winded, page 685. This is what he said about it. That way, I don't misquote anybody. I don't need to misquote Frances Cresswellson.
You mischaracterized the late Dr. Frances Cresswellson, and you were wrong, and I called you out on it.
Okay. All right. Okay. You did. Okay. To your satisfaction, you certainly. And she also believes, by the way, that homosexuality would be essentially non-existent among African American black men, were it not for the machinations of white supremacy. She literally believes homosexuality was literally created in black men by white supremacists to destroy black people.
I don't think she said that way.
Okay, here we go. The destruction of black males for the purpose of white genetic survival is the reason behind the ever-increasing disparity between the number of black females entering and graduating from high schools and institutes of higher education compared to the far lesser number of black males. And she ties that into homosexuality.
How? What did she say?
Because white supremacists manufacture black
homosexuality. No, read what she said.
Black homosexuals are manufactured
by white supremacists, so they'll be non-procreative.
Who? Okay, now, aren't you guys complaining about the pushing of same-sex marriage and transgender stuff? Aren't you guys complaining
Wait,
about that?
Sir,
who's
why are you
pushing
changing
that?
The subject?
It's not changing the subject to what I'm complaining about. Trump supporters.
We're talking about whether or not
Trump,
she said
Trump supporters. Trump supporters. Who is pushing same-sex marriage
and all the other stuff?
Who's pushing that? Trump supporters? Trump support Robert, who's pushing that stuff?
Well, for one, pushing what stuff?
The same-sex marriage, the transgender operations, the exposure to young people of questioning their sexuality. What power dynamic in this country is that push coming from?
Okay.
From the left.
From the left? Okay, from the left. The left, be specific about the left. Be very specific.
Joe Biden, Kamala Harris.
Hold on. But how are they doing it? What are the mechanisms they're using this to promote this?
The media.
The media. Who controls the media, Joe? Robert and everybody. Who controls the media?
Well, it's mainly
the Zionist
dog.
Okay. So these are definitely not black people, right?
Well, of course.
Some of them are.
Okay, Mr. Warren, are you ready to hear this from page 104, Guns as Symbols, page 104?
From what book? What book?
Keys to the Colors,
the ISIS papers. Yeah,
Keys
go ahead.
Okay, this
go
is from
ahead.
Page number 104. This quote is not large. I didn't write it. Once we become aware of the deep humiliation that is apparently felt by whites because of their skin illness, parentheses, due to the genetic mutation to albinism, in parentheses, and because of their genetic vulnerability when compared to non-whites, it is possible to understand the historically degraded status of sex in the white supremacy system culture.
Now,
genetic mutation. Notice the word she used in there, genetic mutation.
Sarge, what color was the very first humans on the planet, Sarge?
Sir, you talking about Australopithecus?
The very modern
Homo sapiens? Or are you talking
about modern humans? Let me come at another way.
Are you talking about modern humans or hominoids?
All modern humans are traced to a woman that was from where?
Okay,
Sarge?
So you mean modern humans? Yes,
I
want to get that straight
from
before
where?
I move on any further. That's why I ask.
Sarge is evading the question, y'all.
I'm trying to answer him precisely, and he's not answering my question.
No, you're screaming.
No,
interrupting me.
I'm getting a little irritated by your continual evasion.
You don't want to
answer. Let me ask you the question again.
Ladies and gentlemen,
do you mean modern
humans? No, let me answer. Ladies and gentlemen, all modern humans on the planet today are descended from a woman that lived somewhere in East Africa approximately 200,000 years ago.
Okay, now
that
I can
woman,
answer the question
that woman,
now.
That woman.
I can
that
answer
woman
it
was,
now.
Let me finish.
You're
let me
giving
finish.
Me enough
that
information
woman,
to answer
let,
it.
Let me finish. That woman was black. So the first humans was black. No other variation in the human complexion because of the natural protection from the ultraviolet rays of the sun.
Okay,
now, as Africans move out of the
So you don't want me to answer the question that you asked?
No, because I answered it, Sarge. You was bullshitting, Sarge.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, you was bullshitting, Sarge.
We're
going
to
No, I was trying to get some questions from your bullshit ass. Who in there telling me, give me enough information so I can intelligently answer the fucking question?
I've humiliated Sarge, ladies and gentlemen. I've humiliated
Sarge. Are you ever arrogant or what?
I've humiliated this man. He's
you're arrogant,
the
sir, and you're
he's
also a sophist. You're a sophist of the worst sort.
Go ahead, Trump supporter. What were you asking, Trump supporter?
Oh, man.
We're going to get ourselves cut off here pretty quick because we're at 10 o'clock and we're at the end of the third hour, so everything's going to stop
Here. Okay, I'm going to answer the question about a Trump supporter. What would you ask him, sir?
Trump supporter.
The one who said he's going to vote for Trump because no option. What were you asking, man?
Let's do closing thoughts.
Yeah, closing thoughts. That's what we need to do because the show is pretty much going to end pretty quick.
Well, my closing thoughts, gentlemen, I really enjoy being allowed in your space. I'm preparing for a trip. I'll be gone for the whole month of August. I'll be traveling to three African countries, Zambia, Namibia, and South Africa. And but when I come back in about early September, I'll restart my series of shows. I'll be looking at the Constitution, what conservatives get wrong about the Constitution. Because I really enjoy challenging conservatives. That has become a special niche of mine on my radio episodes. And I appreciate you guys for allowing me to get close up to you to kind of get inside your brain and pick it apart and try to put it back together and see how it's functioning. And I think I kind of know what's going on there.
Well, I wish we exposed Warren here tonight. We know what Warren really is now. He's not a fed. He's
not a boy, Joe. I'm a boy from Crawfish for you, Joe. We're going to drink beer when I meet you here.
Okay. Hey, I got closing remarks there, Joe. I won't be long.
Well, show's probably going to end because my studio has now stopped working. So things are going to quit pretty quick.
Well, let me get
this
out real
glad.
Quick, man, before we get shut off. This is from page 46, Unified Field Theory Psychiatry from the ISIS paper. Historically, white males worldwide have suffered a deep sense of male inferiority and inadequacy because they represent a mutant, genetically recessive minority population that can be genetically annihilated by all non-white people. Again, that's page 46, Unified Field Theory Psychiatry, Francis Crest Welting, the ISIS.
And let me say this, gentlemen. If you look at lynchings that occurred, they always cut off the penis of the black male. The lynchings always occurred of cutting the penises off of the black male. Why was that?
Okay. Because they also took ears and noses, too. The fingers, ears, noses.
Why was the penis attacked?
Because
Sarge?
It was one of the body parts they could collect.
It was the most threatening part for white males. It was a threatening part to them.
Well, no, I doubt that. That's really it would be the worst.
We found a few dead GIs with their nuts and penises cut off too.
That's kind of a universal thing
when you want to disrespect someone.
There's no history of that with lynching, Sarge. Lynching
was
ritual.
I can tell you, Warren, in the years what dominance has the African continent really brought to the world? Nothing.
Okay. You agree with that, Sarge?
With some reservations, yes.
Well, it hasn't.
If you want to have that discussion, just let's bring it on. I'm ready for that debate, too.
It's not dominant continent, Warren. I'm not.
I'm ready to have the debate. And look, I'm not going to make an assertion and leave it there and say, you either prove it or you at least develop it. And he's not going to be able to do it with me. And let it stand either as this perceived wisdom. What I say is bring your best shot.
I know one thing, Joe, I can tell you one thing, Joe. Humanity, the human race comes out of Africa. I can tell you that.
No, it does not.
No argument there, sir. So what are we going to argue?
It does not come out of Africa. It comes out of the Middle East.
No, civilization.
All human beings are descendants of an African woman that lived in East Africa, and they even have the human genome mapped out.
I know that's not true. That's not true.
Joe, to be fair, he's speaking about mitochondrial evidence, that indicates that to be true. He's speaking about the mitochondrial evidence by the Human Genome Project that does tend to indicate that to be true.
No, they've found no, they're using carbon data and all that, which has proven to be false. It is not
no, they're doing mitochondrial DNA and tracing it back.
Well,
the Human Genome Project was really enormous.
Well, let me say this, Robert. I appreciate it, Robert, for letting me get on. I know I wanted to debate you. You didn't want to debate, but I appreciate you letting me come on here and
And remember, when you ever have a discussion about Africa, just let me know.
I'm gonna try to do a show tomorrow afternoon, about 2, 3, or 4 o'clock tomorrow.
I'm sure you. We'll have that discussion anytime you're ready.
All right, Robert.
Okay. Well, I thank you all for being here tonight. This was actually a rather interesting show. Got to listen to a lot of stuff.
Grab the Lord.
Well, at least you know what a 5%er is now. You see? I bet you didn't know what a 5%er was for tonight.
What happened to Lori?
I'd heard. Well, she's still showing she's still there. I think she's been playing in the chat room, though.
Oh, she's probably enthralled by all the things that we're saying. Yeah.
Remember, it's
Lori. Yeah,
Ann.
I'm still here.
Yeah, she's still here.
Yeah. See, I told you.
Well, what did you think of tonight's podcast, Lori Ann?
I thought it was pretty good during the first part of it. And then, of course, the fireworks went off. During the last part of it. So.
Well, you got to admit you couldn't go to sleep.
Oh no, there was no snoring. There was too much yelling.
There you go.
To be able to fall asleep.
There you go.
But Robert, I called it though. What did Warren do? What did Warren do? He resulted, and where did he end up tonight? Right to the beginning, slavery in the beginning, right? He went back to the beginning.
Right.
You know, that's where he ended up. He always does
that. And he tried to deny the writings of Francis Crick Wilson, which, by the way, is one of the prominent intellectual wellsprings of much of this critical race theory and this other stuff. If you want to know the background on a lot of this stuff, she was the one who came with the modern-day definitions of white racism and white supremacy. Her writings are a cornerstone of much of this so-called intellectual thought amongst many of these black theorists today. So if you want to have a real understanding of it, you got to get Francis Crick Wilson's writings and read them.
Yeah, it's caused a lot of the hate and division in the world.
Many people would say such a thing, yes.
Okay.
Everyone wants to blame the Ku Klux Klan. Yeah, there's your problem right there, you know.
I mean, she was the one who literally coined the modern-day meanings of racism and white supremacy. In fact, the three words go together in much of her writing. She literally combines them in many of her descriptions. And I'm telling you, if you read what she writes, you will hear echoes of her. Every time you hear many of the black nationalists, dare I use that phrase, when you hear many of them speaking, you will hear echoes of her writing. Trust me.
Oh, I do. But I'm glad that you were all here tonight, and I'm glad Lori Ann was here, Joe Gibson, Warren, Sarge, and John. And there were a couple of others in there, too. They're gone. But I'm glad you guys were all here tonight. This was a great show, and even with the fireworks, it was fun. But I'm going to have to get myself...
No harm, no foul. Nobody was.
No harm, no foul. Yeah.
So they're going to accuse me of threatening to kill him.
Well, the cool part is we're getting an opportunity to find out how other people see things and think about them, so we'll have a better understanding of how we need to be able to confront them issues. But the hardest part is you can't. It's hard to work with somebody that's not working in good faith and honesty, and that's a problem.
Yeah,
he works in deception. He works in deception. He plays, you know, and like you said, he tries to capitalize on someone's not knowing about a subject, and then he tries to attack them, you know.
Yep.
And other than the divisiveness, the only thing that he really irritated me about, what he literally said when he asked me what side I'd be in a race for, he said I would side with white Nazis. And I said no such thing. He was literally dishonest, and he knows I didn't say that. He knows I didn't say that, and he said it
Your
anyway.
Phone is just keeps breaking up, Sarge. Your phone just keeps going in and out.
Yep. It's just going in now. Sounds a little better there, yeah.
All right, well, anyway, like I said, he knows I didn't say I was going to side with white Nazis. Now, he knows I didn't say that. He knows I didn't say that. But he insisted upon saying that I said.
You're going to side with the Constitution, Sarge. You're going to side with the Constitution.
Who are fighting to restore order, I will be with all those, black, white, and other, who want to restore order in the Constitution. I will be against all those, black, white, and other, who don't. That's what I said.
Exactly. That's the best way to say it, right?
I said I'd be with the white nationalists. Now, if white nationalists are on that side, they are going to be my allies. If they're not, they'll be my enemies. I said all those, including white nationalists. But I didn't say exclusively white nationalists.
But not racist.
No, I don't think it's going to have much use for me.
No,
I think sometimes people get hung up on what we say because of what we don't say, and that's the way the politicians are very artful in being able to say certain things, but because they don't say certain specific things, they can still mean them, but they just manipulate the wording.
Let me ask you this, real quick, if you don't mind. You know, I'm in a battle right now also with code enforcement here, you know, in my town. I got a code enforcement officer that's harassing the crap out of me. You know, I mean, and you know, I'm to the point, like, you know, I really don't know how to handle it. I know how to handle it. It's just that, is it worth the fight? Because, you know, is anyone going to come and back me up on this? No. You know, I mean, because, you know, I got a code enforcement officer that's harassing me over a burn pile I had in my yard. You know, and everybody burns brush and everything, and somebody made a complaint, and I also, I save my aluminum cans because I cash them in, you know, so I like put them in black bags and I keep them behind my storage shed. You know, I got like 7 or 8 bags. You know, he said, I can't have that. I got to put them in garbage cans. Get the hell out of here, you know. I mean, you know, he's telling me, you know, basically how to keep my yard up kept, you know, and my yard is not messy. You know, it's actually one of the nicest yards.
What your municipality's ordinances specify on those issues?
Well, he's saying that someone made it. Well, I'm having problems with one of my neighbors, and he doesn't like my burn pile, so he made a false complaint.